Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We are here tonight. No, we're not taking off. Sorry. We are on. Good to be here tonight. All right. Welcome everybody. We're glad to be here. All right, yeah. I guess when I set up 50 shows, I missed that one for some reason. So there you go. That's the way it goes. So here we are. We're here. Thank you for being with us. And it's good to be here tonight. Everything's going really good. Been a really good Thursday, a lot going on, and glad it's, you know, time to pray and minister to people and, you know, see what the Lord's saying. We have been documenting a lot of words lately. Y'all are going to be surprised at some of the things that were said. I mean, it's surprising me, so maybe it'll surprise you, I don't know. But very interesting, some of the things that that have been documented here on PGN. And we're going to make like a thing of it and send them out here and there and let people listen to them and let them kind of see what the Lord has been saying, you know, different ways. Even some of my things that I believe were going to happen, not necessarily that saith the Lord, but we saw some of those things starting to happen, so it's pretty cool. And we're really excited about the future, so it's really amazing. The word of the Lord is amazing. And so I'm just surprised that, you know, when you go back and listen to words, you know, you say so much when you have a show like we have and we're here, you know, four nights a week talking for 3 to 4 hours every night, Monday through Thursday. You say a lot. It's amazing how much you say. We do it every week for years. We used to go 5 nights a week. Y'all remember that? Yeah, we used to go 5. And, yeah, so, wow, a lot of info. So we're learning how to go through some of these things quickly and glean information with the – we're kind of doing it like a documentation, like if you, you know, went to court with it or whatever, you know, you could bring it to documentation and original recordings and the whole thing. And doing all that, just felt like it was time to do it. Been meaning to do it for a long time. And just, it's a lot of work, but very interesting, so I'm excited. All right, welcome to Thursday night. We're going to be praying for people in a little bit. Hang on a second. You know, it's just really cool. Everything's going on and how that, I'm just truly surprised at how that you know, people have, are starting to say things that we said are, let me say it like this. They're starting to bring out the news of the new things that they're doing, like the Texas, you know, gold bullion. We've known about the gold bullion for about a year. Michelle Bachman talked about that. I gave the information. And we had given that specific information about a year before that. And I'm documenting all that and getting it out for you guys. So you can actually hear exactly what was said, when it was said, is exactly the way it was said. So we can just kind of enjoy it, you know. If we misunderstand something, you know, which we've talked about that before, you can misinterpret words. You get directives from the Lord. As long as you say the word of the Lord and you give your interpretation, if it's a little bit, you know, off or right, you made clear that it was your interpretation, right? And so, and yet the word still happened. That's what's so amazing is that the word of the Lord happens anyway, and you watch it happen, and then you go, wow, it's like the Lord corrects you a little bit, like, you said it right, but you misunderstood it. But this, you know, a lot. And so when we have that, we'll bring that up too and talk about that and maybe be able to look back at it and go, that's why this happened and that's why that happened. And sometimes we may not know why some things happened, right? Sometimes we won't know. So but we're just going to be honest, open about it and keep it up in the air where everybody can see it out in the open. All right. We just want to serve him and be in position for him when he needs us. All right. And not be out of sync. You don't be out of sync. All right, we're gonna give people a chance to kind of call in because I didn't have a show. I didn't have a show set tonight. I thought I did. I got a bunch of shows set up for the next month, but I didn't have one for tonight. Somehow I missed it. It's happened before, but there you go. So I got it set up, and we'll wait for people to get on in a minute here, and then we'll kind of go forward a little bit. So hope everybody's doing really good. If not, we're going to be praying, prophesying tonight, ministering to you by over your offerings, and just kind of what we do on Thursday. We take communion. Get your communion ready. If you don't have it there, make sure you get it, and let's take it together. We always talk about certain things. Most of the time we talk about certain things, specific things about communion, what we can apply it for, like at this season or this time. And so we do that just about every communion. I'm sure there's times that we don't, but most of the time we apply it to something. And, yeah, so there you go. All right. A lot's going on. A whole lot's going on. I'm more busy right now than I've been in a long time. I'm snowed under. Except it's not even snowing. That's what's really crazy. It's snow. I'm snowed under. It's not even snowing. It's not even wintertime. But, yeah. So pray for me. Some of the business is just trying to do the documentation thing because I'm going through hundreds of shows. I say hundreds. Is there hundreds? Bunches. Whole bunches. And video and audio. Not just the videos. I'm going through the audio ones, too. I mean, not just the audio ones. I'm going through the video ones, too. Bunches and bunches of video back in 2014, y'all. 2014. I found videos in 2014. Can y'all believe it? I found one in the old studio where Jeannie and Deborah, her friend, came, you know, to do worship at the studio. I sent that. I took a shot of it, sent it to Jeannie. She says, "Wow, what's that little thing? Make me look like I have a beard or something." So she figured out that was the microphone that we used to use, where it comes around your mouth, has a little black thing on there. She said, "It made me look like I had a beard." I'm going like, "Yeah, it does kind of look like that," but we know you didn't. That's the thing. So anyway, it's kind of been fun. And to go through and see stuff and see how the Lord spoke stuff, man, and how we prophesied things. And it's just so mind-boggling. And then going through, I think I can say safely, hundreds of shows. Yeah, so we've been doing four a week. At least we'd easily do more than that, but we've been doing them. Let me add that up real quick. Okay. A year's worth is 192 shows. I think if I did that, did I do that right? Four shows a week, four times a month, really more than that, but four times four, that's 16 is 16. Times 12, 192. So I'm saying hundreds. Literally, it is hundreds. Well, I mean, I knew it was, but I'm thinking, I'm just kind of a little, overwhelmed right now. I've got so much going on that I'm double-checking myself to make sure that I got it right. So 192 times, we've been doing it since 2009, 2010. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's a lot of shows. And that's video also. So you double that. So we are literally doing hundreds and hundreds of shows. I don't think I want to think about that too much, but that's what we're doing. So if I'm a little slow and behind, you know, plus the things we have going on in everyday life, you know, just regular life stuff going on. Yeah, so it's really been quite a time say the least. So let's get ready to do communion, waiting for some, you know, giving people time to call in and check in and make sure that they know that we are actually here now. And maybe I should send out something here. All right, so get your communion together, and let's get ready to do that tonight. I guess some things, a really cool things I want to talk about, something I just got today, something fresh, and I want to share it with you, the importance of being in sync with God prophetically in the prophetic realm. It's a whole different way of looking at things. Wait till you hear it. When I got it today, I was just kind of taken back by it. Personally, I thought it was kind of cool how that how important it is to be hearing the right word of the Lord, you know, especially about end-time events, and especially about, you know, what's going on, like what season that we're in, and what vein of, you know, what's the purpose for the next season. If you're getting the wrong prophetic information, you're going to be understanding wrong, and you're not going to get it correct. Therefore, you're going to be not looking for the right things. If you're not looking for the right things, guess what? You're probably gonna miss a lot of it, right? Or be in late. And we don't want anybody to be in late. We want everybody to be on time. And that's what I think that one of the things, one of the reasons we're doing the prophetic documentation words and bringing words out, even the fact that we said in 2014. March in 2014, and not Donald Trump, that Joseph Biden was going to be the president of the United States of America, and that they would do everything they could to make it happen. I said that in 2014, friend. I can't even believe that came out of my mouth. I was like going, I mean, I remember, you know, most things I get, but I get so much stuff that, you know, sometimes I just forget the details. And so to go back and hear it is shocking. All right. I'm going to give just a couple more minutes, and then I'm going to step into the Word here tonight. And I want to teach you something that I think is extremely important, and why, and another reason why we're getting the documentation part to you of words that we've given that are now happening. Like we've been talking about the Texas currency, and even having a credit card. Remember I talked about that a year ago. I'm trying to find those words. A year ago, maybe, I don't know how many times I repeated it, several times, we're going to have our own credit card, we're going to have our own system, our own, some type of satellite system, some type of, you know, banking system. Remember, I warned about the banks last year in 2022. I said, you know, start looking for a bank. What happened? 4 months later, five months later, the banks started falling apart. You remember that? See, that was a timing thing. Now, I didn't say the banks were going to start falling apart. I just said, and made a big deal out of it right here on the show, because Mike Huckabee had some guy on his show talking about had some lady on his show who's governor of Oklahoma and had started an Old Glory Bank. And I thought, well, there's, because I'd already been talking about it. And then she came on. I said, well, that might be an answer right there. And I gave you all the information. That was in 2022, you know, December, November, December, somewhere in there. I've got it written down somewhere, but I'm documenting all this information and showing that people might ought to listen to the word of the Lord. But the thing is, you can listen to somebody over here prophesying about, you know, the whales and the dolphins are going to be doing this and that kind of, and that's cool because we all live in nature. You can be hearing some people prophesy about, you know, giving signs and symbols and not really knowing exactly what it means, but when it happens, you look back at it and say, that's pretty cool. And it's all cool. It's all cool. But you know, what we've got to get is some pretty specific information with details. Like when I went back and listened to the 2014 show and heard it come out of my own mouth that Joseph Biden in 2014 saying he was going to be the president of the United States of America and they're going to do all they could to get him elected. I mean, you know, who knew that was going to happen in the way it happened in 2021 or 2020? When they took Trump out, who knew that they were going to do all they could to get him elected? Nobody knew that. The way that came out of my mouth surprised me. I was going like, oh, my God, I can't believe the Lord, you know, said that through my mouth, right? Because he uses your mouth, and sometimes you just don't remember everything you say. And I was like going, thank you, Jesus. That is so amazing to watch how the Lord impresses you to say things, and you just say it, and then you move on to the next thing, and then you go on to the next show, do a whole new thing, and then the next show, next show, next show, next show. Pretty soon you've done hundreds. Y'all know, we've done hundreds of shows. Hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows. With hours and with 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours per show, full of most of it new information. I repeat things a lot because I'm finding out that people aren't listening that well, or they just kind of half-hearted way listen because they got their mind on other things, and they like listening to the show. So I repeat it time and time again to the point to where they go and like, man, we had enough hearing about that, because I wanted to make sure that they get it. So when we go back and say, hey, okay, y'all remember when we said this? They're going to go, yeah, you wore us out with it. And I say, well, it finally happened. the Texas currency thing. Hey, they're now talking literally about it, that they just developed it just recently, as far as, you know, using the gold currency, using the gold to back it up, a digital currency that can be used. And they're literally saying that. This was done last Thursday on the Kenneth Copeland, Flash, whatever it's called, Flashpoint. They literally said, because the system's going to cut us off and we got to be ready for it. They literally said that. Man, did y'all hear that? I'm going to send that to you so you can hear it. It's amazing. Okay, somebody just sent something. Well, maybe thousands. Thank you. Yeah, Mike says, maybe thousands. I think it's over 2,000 shows. You can say thousands. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I didn't want to over-exaggerate, right? Thank you for that. I'll double-check that to make sure. But, yeah, it's 190-something shows per year. And then that's what? I've been doing shows for a long time, but here on PGN since, what, 2010? I think we have shows I have shows that are documented on Blog Talk since 2010. So 2010, and I used to do 5 shows a week. How many shows is that? Over 2,000. Oh, and that's the Blog Talk, right? All right, so I had never really added it up exactly. And then I'm also looking at, then I'm also looking at videos. Yes, so 1,000. Okay, thank you. So I can say 1,000. Thank you. Hallelujah. I feel safe now. I don't want to exaggerate. I felt bad saying hundreds. Is it hundreds? Yeah. What am I thinking? Of course it's hundreds. You know, so, yeah, thousands. 2,000. Thank you. I'm looking at all those shows, or, you know, most of them. Over 2,000. Yeah. Okay. So, and I'm also looking at all the video shows, too, and seeing if there's some that we're missing and on. So I'm trying to match them all up, and then I'll be able to send out clips of videos and clips of the audio, together. Some people, audio is easier for them on their system at home. And then sometimes video, people love videos, so we're going to do videos also the best we can. Video is a little bit more complicated. Audio is a lot easier. So we're going to be doing all that. All right. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about one thing, about being in sync with God. What does in sync mean? Let's look at the word in sync. I haven't even looked it up yet. In sync. N-S-Y-N-C. Meaning. All right. In sync meaning means working well together in agreement. Means two or more things working in harmony. For example, a movie was out of sync. The actor's lips movements wouldn't match up with the audio. I've had that happen before on my audio. It's a couple of frustrating, but not quite as frustrating as having unsynced files. Yeah. Okay. So here's what I want to talk about: timing. You know. So when you talk about the end times, you're talking about time, right time. And when you talk about time and thinking that, so in other words, it's like this thing says, you can have the audio on a video running behind and the lips don't match up, right? So 3 seconds later, 5 seconds later, he's saying, you can hear the audio saying what he said 5 seconds ago on the video. It kind of messes things up, right, a little bit. So, but what I'm going to talk about tonight basically is time, being in time. So when you have prophets prophesying things that are not, like when they prophesied that Jesus, when Peter told Jesus, Lord, our teachers, our rabbis have been teaching us that you're supposed to rule and reign on the earth, or you're supposed to rule as king, right? And you're not going to die on a cross. You're supposed to be here and rule on the throne of David. You cannot die. That's what he rebuked him. So what was that? Was that word wrong? No, that word was in the future. I don't know how many hundreds of years, but hundreds of years off. You see what I'm saying? Hundreds of years off. It was true. It was said by the lips of God, but it was not supposed to be. So what was really, now watch this. What was really going on in the earth with Jesus, the true prophecy that would have synced up with him was Isaiah 53. He was going to be rejected. He was going to be despised. He was going to be a man of sorrows. He was going to die on a cross. And he was going to suffer death, burial, and resurrection. So prophesying, if Peter would have said, Jesus, you are right. Isaiah 53 says you're going to suffer and die on the cross, and then you're going to rise again from the dead. Okay? We got you, man. We're with you on this because the Bible backs you up. Both things that Peter, that's not the one Peter gave, by the way. Right? I don't know which one he talked about. He said, you can't die. Lord, you can't die. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. For you don't savor the things of God, but you savor or you favor or you have a taste for the things of men. The prophecies of men, they're lip syncing. They're trying to put the lip syncing language of what belongs in the future when Jesus rules on the throne of future in the millennium to 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago. And it didn't match up. The same thing with the Trump prophecies. They were mouthing, you know, in the second round, they were mouthing that prophesy and saying, just like Peter was trying to tell Jesus, you know, so what they said, well, it's not going to happen either way. But Trump, you know, Joseph Biden, like we said in 2014, March 2014, I sent you that audio. We said that in 2014. And so even though that wasn't happening right then, it was a prophetic word for the future, right? But what Peter was trying to do was put a prophetic word from the Bible and make it now instead of where it belongs. So it wasn't syncing up. So therefore, when the prophetic word is not syncing up, when it's not lined up with timing in God's word, what happens? People start looking for the wrong thing. And when they look for the wrong thing, they end up being deceived. Like everybody thought Trump was going to be, you know, the president of the United States. They all thought Trump was going to be, because the prophets were prophesying, they were trying to say something that really wasn't true. Anyway, so it's important that we get the word of the Lord out there that matches up the time, the lips, and the video, the lip syncing, and the video and the movie, that the actor's lips movements match up with the audio. So watching the movie, you understand what it means. It all comes together. It's in sync. What's happening now is that we still have prophets saying stuff that is not biblical, it's not matching up, it's not in sync with what's actually going to happen or what is happening. Therefore, people are looking to the wrong, they're looking the wrong direction because the words they're getting are speaking something that's not in sync with what's actually supposed to happen. It is going to happen. Therefore, when Trump didn't become president the second time around, guess what? People were dismayed. And if that dismaying keeps on happening, which is what we are trying to prevent, we're the only ones. That, I mean, it sounds kind of self-righteous that we're the only ones. But it sounds like Elijah. We're the only ones. in truth, it's true. We're the only ones. In this case, God couldn't say, I have thousands of prophets who are prophesying this, Randy. I'm going like, no, we've already checked that, Lord. That's not right. Sorry, that's not right. Anyway, so it's so important that the movie is played out that God has designed to be played at this time. And you got prophets saying something completely different from the movie or the action that's actually the book of Acts or the action that's actually being played out because God has designed it that way. And they're lip syncing and they're saying things that, no, Jesus, you can't die. Oh, Donald Trump is going to get a second, and we're going to have four more years of whatever. Donald Trump and more stuff, and I like Donald Trump. I voted for Donald Trump twice. Okay, so y'all know that. So God is saying, this is something he spoke to me today about. He said that we have got to have the right words speaking in the movie that's playing out every day before our eyes, and the words are not describing what's going to happen, not only what's happening, but what's going to happen, and they're saying something else is going to happen, and we're saying ours is lining up, right, by the grace of God. It's lining up. So this is going to bring tremendous confusion. Now, I'm going to give you the results of this because the result of the lip sync being out of movement with the video, right? The two things are not working together in harmony. There's no 133, Psalms 133 working. The things are not working together. We're all divided, not because Randy Chandler decided to be a divisive example or a divisive teacher or a divisive prophet. That's what they're accusing me of. And yet they are the ones who are being divisive by saying that, you know, that I am giving the wrong words, and yet now everything we're saying, they're finding out, was in lip sync with the movie that played out, including Biden becoming president and doing all the things that he did. And the way that we said, when I heard that word in 2014, that I even came out of my own mouth, that they're going to do everything they could to make sure he's elected. Did y'all hear that? Did you hear that audio? In Christ's name, I line up. That is from 2014. March, I think it's March 2014 on a show. I thought he was gonna get it then. I thought he was gonna be president then. Then he came out later and said he wasn't. But it didn't matter. It's still the wording that came out of my mouth that they're gonna do everything they can to make sure he makes it. Was exactly what happened in 2021, 2020. It's exactly. I mean, so much so that I was like going, I played it for a couple of friends of mine, you know, and they went like, oh, my God, Randy, that was exactly what happened. Was that 2014? I said, yeah, can you believe it? It's amazing. So what's happening is that when a movie is not in sync with its audio, the audio and video are completely off, what happens? People start getting confused. Because they're watching the movie, they're watching what goes on in politics, what's going on with everything going on in the market even. We've been telling people exactly what the market's going to do. There's not been one prophet that I know of that's talking about the market doing exactly what it's done. We are the only ones that have done that. The only ones that specifically detailed, even gave numbers, even in the last year. The market is still at 33 and 34. The last word that we gave, it's like it's waiting. I know it's not true. This is not true, but I'm going to say it to make sure you understand. I'm not saying this is true, but it looks like the market is waiting for us to say, okay, you can do something else besides 33 and 34. That's what it looks like. I mean, it's not true, but I say us, I'm talking about the Lord and me, right? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm, it's like, look at it. If you look at the market, lady, 33, 34. What's the last word we gave that? 33, 34. We haven't said anything else besides that. Nothing. It's like it's hanging there. I have to be honest with you. I don't understand it all myself, and yet, you know, it's still at 33, 34. If you haven't kept up with it, you know, you need to, because it's not just about the market. It's about the prophetic. It's about the fact that God knows what's going on, and he has everything in sync. There are a lot of ministers saying that the market's going to crash, the market's going to crash, and I kept telling them, the market is not going to crash because it's not time yet. Well, how do you know it's not time yet? I said, because God told me the timing. He always tells me the timing. So far, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's in sync. It's synchronized. Two things, those two things, the words that are spoken and the actions that are happening are exact so far. Exact. But you watch these other prophets. And they're probably saying, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And then everybody watches it all not happen. They're going like, well, the audio says this, but the action, the real video that they filmed, the show, it's not matching up. What does that do? It confuses people. They start going, you know, okay, there's something wrong with this movie. So they start getting confused, right? Like going, I'm not going to pay for this movie. I'm going to send it back. Or, you know, tell them that you're going to call the movie people and say, man, whoever made this movie is really messed up some stuff. The audio and the video are not matching up at all. It's not even the same movie on the audio. The movie's good. It's actually what's happening in the real life. But the words are, it's like somebody put words in there saying, and yet you watch what the words are saying. The words are not matching up with what's actually going on. What do you call that? False prophesying? I think. Or just messing up. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. It's messed up. They're out of sync. They got out of sync. They did good on the first Trump round. A lot of those guys. I didn't know Trump can be president the first time. You know, I've talked about that many times. I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know. Because I knew they're going to take Hillary Clinton out. That's all I knew. I got that right. Brother, did they ever. The FBI was in on it. Ray Gowdy. Even Elijah Cummings. I think Obama was in on it, too. I really do, y'all. I mean, I think we exposed something there. In fact, I know we exposed something there. Because the words I gave back then was that Obama, y'all may not remember this, but I've got it documented. Yeah, this is a different Thursday night, y'all, so just chill out a little bit. I'm just relaxing. So what's happening is that some messed up or false prophecy, whatever you want to call it. I'm not saying they're false prophets. I'm just saying they falsely prophesied, okay? That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to be nice. Because I think they love Jesus, and I know they're born again, and I know they love God. So there's no question about that. But the problem is, you know, I mean, just the fact that they talked about that Kenneth Copeland, who's a pre-tribber, I have a lot of friends who are pre-tribbers, right? So. And I have friends that are mid-tribs. I have friends that believe in all kinds of things. I don't believe at all, but I still, we're still friends. All right, I can do that. You know, I think many of you guys do that too. Same. Most of us do that. So what happened is that you got a pre-tribber on there has last Thursday. It all happened. If you haven't listened to it yet, I'll send you the link. I got the full video. You can watch the whole thing or just in snippets of it. Whatever you want, just let me know. If you can't find it, I'll send it to you. They are literally saying a pre-tribber, Kenneth Copeland, saying on Daystar is saying Texas has a going to be in action in September. Is they're going to kick it in September where you can have a credit card, and the guy held up a credit card. He said, just like this credit card, we have a system that is backed by gold that when the system shuts us off, like I've been saying for 3 years at least, specifically, not generally speaking, everybody knows the system's going to cut it off one of these days. Everybody knows that. I'm talking about specifically for Texas and happening now, not happening 10 years in the future, happening now, And Texas specifically is going to be the one who's going to have its own system. And they're saying that because we have to have this. They're saying it's on Kenneth Copeland, a preacher. We have to have this system for Texas because the system of, you know, the one world system is going to cut us off. They're saying that. Can you believe that? They're actually saying that. If you haven't listened to that, this is not just me talking in a corner, y'all, like some people think I do. You got to watch TV once in a while or get on YouTube and Google this stuff. This is real stuff I'm talking about. They're now saying what we've been saying for at least 2 to 3 years. I'm fixing to get the exact dates. I found one, 2021. I thought it was 2020. 2021, November the 9th, 2021. I already sent that out. Well, we're saying that Texas is going to have its own system of gold. Currency. I even said the word currency, our currency. Right. Specifically said that about Texas. All right. That was in, and I've said it before that, but I'm trying to find them. So give me time and I'll get them to you. Because we want to show this in sync thing. If we're not in sync and you're, and people are watching what the prophet, they're listening to the audio of what the prophets are saying is going to happen, and then the real life movie plays, and it's all completely different. What are the prophets going to do? Say, no, this isn't really happening. No, that's not what's going to happen. No, this is not it. No, that's not it. No, no, they messed it up. No, but this is the way it's all unfolding. So you guys got it wrong. Your audio, your words do not match up with what actually God is allowing to happen. And friend, in my opinion, it is extremely frustrating. Extremely, even in this thing I looked up, sync, it even says at the end here, frustrating, but not quite as frustrating as having unsynced files, you know, like the whole file. That's what they've got. We got a whole file, not just a thing, a word here and there, or word shows here and there where they said it. Now, they got a whole file that are out of sync. If I said something's going to happen, and it didn't happen for 3 years, not out of sync, but when I say something's going to happen now, you know, like right now, and give a date and say, you know, Trump's going to be the president in the second term, which he's not even going to be he's not going to be a second term president in any kind of fashion. Sad to say for some people, it's not sad, but it's not going to happen in any kind of way. So that's already off the table. And God's, you know, it's been off the table for a long time. He got off the table in 2020, and it's over for him as far as being president. But, you know, he can influence people unless they kill him. And then that'll influence people too. So I think he's willing to die. I think he knows he's going to die. Or I think he's willing to. I think Donald Trump really is willing to use his life to do it. And that's, I'm not sure how sacrificial it is, but you can't take that away from him either because it probably is sacrificial. I don't want to make him something that he's not. But I think he knows that he has no choice but to do what he's doing. And the system people have no choice. I'm just, you know, I don't have a word myself about this, but I think they have no choice to wipe him out, either kill him or just wipe him out completely. Yeah, somehow or another they're going to wipe him out. And, you know, Nicole from D.C., who does shows on Book of Revelation, had a dream, vision many years ago about Trump being, you know, killed. And that may be exactly, literally, physically, maybe exactly what happens. But somehow or another, I know he's not going to be president because what's going to happen? You know, they did the Dominion, if you guys are familiar with the Dominion voting machines, Fox just got paid a lawsuit of $787 million on that, admitting that they lied, or at least they said they admitted they lied, and they paid that much on it. Right before he's fixing to go to court, they're fixing to head to court. They made a deal. And so that right there, admitting that they lied, and the court systems have now made those people guilty, right? Now anytime anybody starts talking this stuff, the system is going to say, you can't say that because you're lying. Because Fox News agreed to pay off $787 million, wasn't it? Million, yeah. Which is not much for them, but still, and admitted that they lied, That is a documented court, a documented agreement that they agreed on that they will now go back and look at and go, well, okay, now Tucker Carlson just got fired. Not just got fired. He just left Fox or got fired, one or the other, for the whole Dominion thing. So, y'all, this is just beginning. And the Trump people that are still Trump people, Trump prophets, are trumpeting Trump, prophesying about Trump still, they think that this is all good news to them. But I'm just telling you, it's not good news for them at all. They're trying to miss. They think now their lip syncs, their sync, their audio is not syncing up with what's really going to happen. It is not good for them, not at this point, because what's happening is they're going to, the system people, you know, who are in power now, are going to finish the job. That God is going to allow them to do it. See, that's what the that's what some of them are kind of admitting now. David Jeremiah, Dr. David Jeremiah, a well-known preacher on TV. I really like the guy. He says some really horrible stuff sometimes, but most of the time he's awesome. I'm sorry we talked like this here, y'all, but that's what happens when you get your own show. You just say whatever, right? But, I mean, I love David Jeremiah, but he says some pretty ignorant things, in my opinion, about some things. And they're going to be proved to be wrong. I mean, I'm telling you. You know, these guys are now admitting. David Jeremiah is now admitting that, oh, maybe America is being dismantled. It's what he said, his exact words. Maybe this is in prophecy, honey. He's telling his wife. Maybe this is in prophecy. In other words, saying that God, instead of the other thing, like somehow the devil's got it out of control, and how can it be in the Bible? How could God have anything to do with this stuff? Now, they're admitting this is in the Bible and how God is, you know, I don't know if they're using the word allow yet, but anytime you say something connected to prophecy, you're connecting that, you're connecting the audio to the video, to the real video. You're connecting the real audio to the real video saying this is God doing this. That's what we've been saying. We've been saying the audio and the video, they're all syncing up together so far. We're synced up so far pretty good, real good, actually. And now these other guys are starting to sync up a little bit, too. See what I'm saying? So this is an important thing going on. And so thank God. I mean, little old PGN, man, just, I mean, we're little in you know, in some ways. In other ways, you know, let's just brag on PGN for a minute. What do you say? What God has done at PGN, man, what we've documented here, and one of the other reasons that I took my show off the other stuff, the other Blog Talk, was because to protect the documents. I never told anybody that until tonight. One of the reasons that I separated them out is because a lot of people who don't even do shows anymore still have access to that, to those links. So that's another reason, one of the main reasons, actually, if you know the truth, that I moved it, that I separated it out, being heavily watched and heavily guarded, because of the documents. The documents of that show, of this show, that we have hundreds of, are high-level information given way before, sometimes a few weeks before, sometimes a few months before, before it actually happened. That's what, when I tell y'all that there's government people that watch me, I'm not just saying it. I mean, I think it's kind of cool, actually. I'm not feel all nervous and conspiratory, like, oh my God. I kind of like it, actually. Kind of fun. Those guys listen to this. It's been a proven fact that they, you know, watch our phones. I know they specifically watch my phone, because what they're trying to figure out is how did I get some of this information, you know? And I keep telling everybody, and they know that I say it's God. You know, they're not believers, so they don't believe it. So they're trying to figure out who's Reggie Chandler connected to. Literally, I want to say I'm going to tell the whole shebang, the whole story. It's going to rock your brain. It is going to rock your brain. They would love for me to talk about it prematurely, because there's just some things I can't even say. But they would love for me to talk about specific details. but I'm not going to do it, because that's what they want me to do. They really try to provoke us. They try to provoke us sometimes. But, you know, I'm not going to give them any credit for specific. So they don't even know what specific, some specifics that I know. They don't even know that I know some of it. But can I just talk about this for a minute? Y'all got a minute? I may say too much tonight. I don't know. But there's been a few times. that I have known that they were doing things, and they love provoking you. They do. They like to provoke you. They provoke you to, you know, like they've done some things, y'all. I mean, I'm talking about out in public to places that I go, and I mean, when I tell you about it, you know, Randy's just getting better now. Everybody knew something was going on. They just didn't know why is this happening. I knew exactly why it was happening because I provoked it. I provoked it. I did. I provoked it, and it worked. It was amazing. I hope I don't get in trouble for that. They'll probably pick up the pressure a little more after this. But you know what? I'm just ready, man. I'm really ready. I've been ready. And so they like to do things to get me to talk about the details. But so what I'm doing tonight is I'm saying to them that listen to this stuff that, you know, they've done same things, you know, they've done certain things. And so I knew that they were doing it because I tested it. They didn't know I was testing it, but I tested it to see if they were doing it. And sure enough, they were. And I'm not talking about once or twice, several times I would test it. Time and time again. Sometimes things can be circumstantial, right? That's why when you're a scientist, you test things in a proper way to find out for sure that it's actually not an accident, not a circumstantial thing, but you find out that it is, you know, you do it enough times in different ways. And I did it enough times specifically in different ways, and they came right out of hiding and right out of hiding and came, you know, to do some things. And so I said, I just acted like I didn't even know it was going on. I wish I could tell y'all some of this stuff, man. It'd just blow your mind. But, I mean, they came right out of hiding, boy. It's like they went right for it. They went for it. It was so funny. It was so funny. And I just acted like I didn't even know what they were doing. And, you know, I did, hey, you know, what's going on? I did. I really did. And I wish I could say all of it, but they would love for me to talk about some of it because they have this way of doing things. And if you don't understand the way they think, then you might step into some of their traps. But so far, their traps have not worked so far by the grace of God. And it's not because I'm smart. It's only because the Holy Ghost just shows me. He just shows me, right? And then I test it to make sure. Because anytime you get something from God, especially if somebody's done something wrong, somebody's done something weird, you know, don't just jump to conclusions right away. Get proof, you know, that's your confirmation. That's your discerning spirit. Oh, I feel like something's going on with sister or brother so-and-so. I feel like, you know, something's going on. You know, that voice is speaking people's ears. And so, okay. And so if that's God, that ain't God, that voice wasn't God. But if God's showing you something, you bring proof for it. You just don't jump to conclusion and jump out on it and go out there and start pointing your finger at people. You set up things and you watch it, and you document it, you video it, you audio it, and make sure that you got it. Not that you're going to use it. It's not about using it. It's about just saying if you're right or not. It's not about taking somebody to court and whacking them, taking money from them. I don't do that. I could have done that many times. But, you know, I'm not out for the money. I want God to favor me. I want God to go, this boy, he just wants to do this for me just to do it, man. He's not even looking for anything, you know. So, I don't know that I'm not looking for anything. I think that we all want to be, you know, approved of by our daddy, which I do tremendously, like Jesus. When his daddy showed up at the baptism and said, this is my beloved son whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. That's really what it'd be cool, right? Do we all want that? I do. Do you? I hope you do. If you don't want it, I think you're weird. If you don't want that, you go, oh, I never want that. You're lying. You're not a human being. We're made to be approved of by our Father. It just depends on whose Father you want to be approved of, the devil or who. All right, I'm just talking now. I'm just checking. Because I'm afraid I'll just keep going. And I'll say too much. Now they know. If they didn't know already, now they know because they listen to my stuff. And I just told them outright that, you know, some of the stuff that they came out in the open over and some things, I actually set them up. And not to you know, badmouth them, or I talk about it right now. If I wanted to badmouth them, I talk about it, the details right now. But I didn't do it to do that. I did it to see, you know, is this really happening? And you do it two or three times and be very careful about what you do. It will prove, you have to be careful how you do it, because then it will prove absolutely without any question that it wasn't an incident, it wasn't accidental, it wasn't just a happenstance. It was deliberately, willfully done. And then when you find out that it is, you can think about the whole thing differently. And with me, since I don't have anything to hide, right? So it's like, I just kind of like, that's what keeps you in. They also want to make you guilty of things. They want to make you guilty of things. Just like Samson and Delilah is a really good one, because they wanted the devil, the people who were on Delilah's side, they wanted to make Samson guilty. That was their whole thing. They wanted to make him guilty, right? Guilty of what? He told them where his power came from, right? And he was messing around with her, right? Pretty soon he compromised, and he opened up and shared the secret to his power, and he became guilty. They got him. This is the way they do that, and they will use, if you have a woman weakness, well, I'm going to talk way too much tonight. If you have a woman weakness, they will use a woman. If you have a homo issue, they'll use homo. If you have a perversion issue, they'll use your perversion. Whatever issue you have, that's why you've got to make sure you get rid of your issues. Because if you ever get raised up, like Samson and whoever else, David, sometimes they is the devil. Sometimes they is just whatever. But because the devil's always out to shame men of God. Thank you. Somebody saying, preach it. I could go on. I could talk about this stuff all night long, y'all. This is one of my favorite subjects, but I never hardly ever talk about. Maybe late in the night, after midnight. After midnight, Randy says things that he doesn't normally say, except tonight is not even midnight yet. Not even 10 o'clock yet. So, okay, what was I talking about? Help me out here. Yeah, so Delilah was a weakness. People trying to help me. Thank you. Okay, thank you. People saying I agree. Appreciate it. So you have to understand, whatever your weakness is, so why don't we preach judging yourself so you won't be having things happen to you like, oh, I know it was my mama and drawing these nitpicking women that I thought were nitpicking, you know, perfectionists trying to find fault with me, which wasn't true, but that's what I thought. So whatever weakness you have, if you don't fix that weakness, that's why God will not trust you. Look what happened with Marcus Lamb. Marcus Lamb is the latest tragedy of a beloved brother who really majorly screwed up big time because he had bought God's public favor. I was part of that favor. I was. And it is he loved God. He wanted to be used by God. He wanted to have his father say, "Good job, Marcus. You're fine. You're my boy." That's all Marcus was looking for. But you know what? Just like Samson and others, you know, him and his wife were in competition with each other. It was obvious. It's a real obvious thing. It's not some hidden thing anymore. People try to say it's not true. You're blind as a bat. What happened with Marcus? Him and his wife. The devil. Orchestrated this, what I call the Jezebel spirit and the Ahab spirit thing. Not the third Jezebel and Ahab, but that's what happened. The same scenario came about, and Ahab And Marcus Lant, which I consider him like David now. I don't think he's like, you know, people think. I'm not saying he's a bad man at all. I'm just saying he got trapped by being in a marriage where his wife had a better personality than he did, and people liked her more. So people tend to want to obey her, and she took advantage of it, full advantage of it. Maybe she felt like she needed to. Maybe she has a lot of good reasons for it. God knows, but it was still out of order with God. However you want to try to justify any of that, it was completely out of order. Good people, I probably would have fallen to the same thing if I'd have been them. So you see, I'm not condemning them. So people say, you're just condemning them. No, I'm not. I'm just telling the truth at raw level. And nicely, by the way, I could be a lot tougher than this, but I'm being nice. Most of the time, I'm pretty nice. I said, pat myself on the back. Somebody pat me on the back, right? Hey, good job, Brother Shannon. So what happened? The scenario got set up. The devil knew his weaknesses. The devil knew her weaknesses, right? Did you hear me say that? The devil knew her weaknesses. And got him to yakking, got him to fighting each other in a certain way. Competition, you know. So long story short, without going into a bunch of detail that I know about from the Holy Spirit, plain as day from God, that was a trap. And so what happened? She is just as guilty as he is. They're both guilty of the same thing. His ended up in adultery. She ended up being yielding to the Jezebel spirit and let that scenario take over. And look what happened. And I have the right to talk about this because I spoke about it days before he died. All this stuff was talked about. I'm going to bring all that out into the open too. I'm going to bring all that under the open, not to expose any particular person, but to show the strategies of hell and expose Satan for what he is. So that why? So that we can just talk to, no, so that you and I can learn. Now, I've had people try to trip me up here on PGN. Are you kidding me? Every kind of, because human beings are human beings. They try any kind of thing just to see if they can get you. You know, it's human beings stuff. It's not always demonic. It turns into demonic. Sometimes it's just human beings competing. Well, I wonder if I can. I wonder if I could take him down. I bet I could. I took so and so down. I took him down. Maybe I can take Randy down. It was an old lady's voice, and you know, it's like, so they don't know me very well, right? They don't know me very well. If they knew me, they would never even try those strategies, because that's not even a temptation for me, at all. At all. But they spent a lot of time trying to work it, baby, believe me. And it's like, I made sure, I knew what was going on, hoping that they would change. But I always believed that people, somebody get their eyes open and then they'll change. They'll turn into a, you know, a repented type person. And they'll go, man, you know, I was wrong. You know, he's not like that, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes they never do change. And so God ends up, sad to say, God ends up judging them. And you know, and hopefully that doesn't happen. But, you know. Anyway, so I'm not going to go there, but there's things set up. That's why we talk specifically about Marcus and Joni, not to condemn them, but to say, listen, you can be set up. Whatever your weakness is, with Samson, he was set up because of his weaknesses. The devil knew right where to hit him, and then he used her to draw that one thing out. If you love me, you tell me what you. If you love me, you tell me what it is. You don't really love me, do you, Samson? You know, you think I'm going to marry you, and you don't even love me. I wasn't there, but I can feel it. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting carried away. But this is all being documented, by the way. Thank God, and I document it in more than just one way. Yeah, I love it, and I don't mind talking about it, because we're not here to expose myself. I've talked about my stuff openly, my weaknesses, my sins, my failures. I've talked about them, you know, and that's the thing that scares my friends, literally. People that know me pretty well know Randy will talk about anything, He may not mention other people's name, but he'll mention his name. He'll shame himself. You better believe it. You know why? I will open up and talk about it because it's all through the Bible, number one. And if people have a problem with stuff, you know, then that's their problem. Because if I'm free of things, if I'm delivered, if I move way on past it, and God knows, then God will deal with you about dealing with me in a wrong way. You know, according to your motives, not according to what I think you're doing or anything, but according to your motives, he will deal with you. If your motives are evil, friend, you better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Judgment is coming your way. You know, according to your motives, not according to what I think. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about anything. God's not going to make any mistakes if he whacks somebody at whatever level. I don't mean just death. I mean, whatever. If he whacks them, he's usually not whacking them to wipe them out unless they're at that point. He's whacking them because he wants them to repent. And if he has to cast them out into outer darkness, so to speak, for a season, you know, given over to Satan for a time. And I have the power to do that in Christ. I have the power to do that in Christ Jesus. That's why I talk about it. I have the power to do that. And, you know, I've had to do some pretty rough things. But when you see results, that's what you look for. It's like Paul the Apostle said. The main thing making him happy is you got results in Christ. Because that's why I talk. Why do you think I teach it and talk about it? Because I'm just talking about something? No, I mean, because God has given me authority to do that. And it's a rare thing. But it's for the purpose of bringing that person to Jesus, not exposing them and making them look like a whatever. It's to help them. Your motives, you're wise as a serpent, Paul was, but harmless and innocent, wanting good, restoration. But some people are so hard-headed. I mean, I know some women as well as men. Women are hard-headed in a different way. Men are hard-headed too, believe me. I know, I've been pretty hard-headed myself. But women get hard-headed in a little different way than men do. And Ahab was hard-headed, and so was Jezebel. And their hard head was different, and she was smarter than he was and more manipulative than he. And she took control of him because she manipulated in his behalf, and therefore he sucked it all up. And whammo, you know, who got whacked first but the weak man? Sad to say. And then the strong woman got whacked second. And but if Johnny didn't repent, the same thing happened to her. You know, we don't want that. We'd rather see restoration and be friends, right? But it's up to her, the word of the Lord person, that's all. I have no personal involvement in any of it. I have no personal involvement in anything. You know. All right, y'all ready to take communion? Did I get on that? I could talk for layer upon layer, and when I do that, I get myself, I always walk away going, God, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I said that. What am I doing? But we're fine. I mean, I just don't want to expose anybody. You know, if I have to expose them, if exposing them is the last resort to win them over, then we will do that. And I've come pretty close to it lately with some things. Openly shame the person and put them outside the protection of the body of Christ for a season, you know, in the outer darkness to get them broken so they get their soul right with God and quit trying to think that their evil deception, you know, little spider web thing is actually going to do anything. It's worthless. Yeah, I get my little flicker flame thing, you know, you do it when you take barbecue, you know, your little flamethrower thing, turn it on, and all those spider webs just go up in flames. You just wait, kind of let them work their little weave, their little web, and I watch it, man. You ever watch those spiders do those things? They're so beautiful. You know, somebody's trying to do that around you personally, and you know what's going on. You know, it's actually intriguing to watch. I mean, it's actually, I have a setback and laugh. Literally laughed at how some people have tried to weave that web around me. And the only reason that I felt, you know, like I could laugh at it is because I knew what they were doing and why they were doing it, and God already gave me the end result. he already gave me the end result. So I could look at it, and then when it came the right time, then I just get my little flicker flame thing. I get my little barbecue pit thing, you know, and just one little bit of fire, and it's like the whole thing just goes up in flames, man. It just destroys it, and the spider starts going, you know, kind of like that, and freaks out. So there you go. Carmen sent me a thing. Reach your brother. It's needed. The Gippy? What is that? Gippy? She sent me a picture of a flamethrower. I'll have to send that out. Hang on, let me send that out. Yeah, I don't mind if we play a little bit tonight, right? I'm not playing. I'm talking straight, but I'm having fun with it. I like to have fun with this stuff. The little flamethrower. If you want the flamethrower, let me know. Carmen sent it to me. So when these people, you know, the thing is like Jesus knew who his Judas was beforehand. Long. He chose him and knew that he was going to be. Jesus chose Judas because God told him to, and the Father. And he chose him knowing that he was a spider web kind of guy. You know, he's a spider web kind of guy. And when you quit going with their stuff, when you quit agreeing with their stuff and quit going with their strategy, you know, bowing down to their stuff, oh my God! And then there goes the spider web thing, and they're putting it all around you like, we got you, man. Oh, we're gonna get you, boy. You're going down, and you already know who and you know what, you know. And not everybody's a Judas, but some people think like a Judas, so therefore they do Judas things. And that spider web thing, women are more spider webish, you know, when they do things. Men are, you know, they do things a little bit differently. They want to call you out to a duel, you know. They want to call you up big. Here's your duel. Here's your gun. Here's mine. And you march, you know, 15 steps and turn around. Boom, boom. You know, men are kind of like that. Women, they like to weave a little web around you. It's just a little bit different thing with everybody. So about the time, you know, they think they got you, you know, because you already know what they're doing and what you already know, because God showed you. Jesus already knew the web that Judas was going to weave. He already knew the whole thing. It was already showed to him. He knew the purpose of it. He knew what it was about. He knew that it was important. Can you believe that Jesus knew Judas was important? Judas was extremely important. We've talked about this before, but he was extremely important. Well, it's not me that's smart, bro. I wish it was me, but the Holy Ghost is the one that shows. See, just like with Jesus, Jesus wasn't smart. It was not that he wasn't smart. Of course he was smart, but the Holy Spirit revealed all these things to him from the Father. The Father said, hey, remember in the Old Testament, Jesus, where it says that, you know, one of your own will, you know, will take you out. One of your own brothers is going to take you out. Yeah, he said, that's Judas. You go, right there, Judas, I want you to pick him right there. He's right here. He's right there sitting there behind that tree. Hey, Judas. And the Father just showed him who he was and what his purpose was. And so Jesus said, hey, Judas, why don't you come follow me? He knew right then who that boy was. It wasn't revealed to him a couple of days beforehand. he knew already, and the only reason that I can laugh at some of this stuff, for one reason only, other than that, I would have been trapped. I would have been just like, you know, Samson. I would have been just like, you know, Peter too, but David. I would have been like a lot of people. The devil uses the same old tricks all the time. And anyway, so when he chose Judas, he already knew exactly who he was and what he was going to do, and he was important. He was part of the puzzle. Judas was not some mistake. Judas was a part of the puzzle to make it all work. Without Judas, the puzzle could not come together, y'all. Did you know that? We think of Judas as, oh, my God, let's pluck him out quickly as we can. But sometimes God will plant them among you to help you out. Even though they're going to try to take you out or going to try to mess you up, God is going to use it for his glory because he will tell you beforehand who they are, what they are, and what they're going to do overall. So as soon as they get that little weave, you know, that little web weave, and it's so pretty. They're so pretty. They're so designed. I mean, the design of a web. Oh, my God. Y'all watched that before. When I was a kid, I used to be fascinated by these huge spiders out on the farm. And they would make the, I thought, man, that's the most beautiful, beautiful thing. Except when it's used for wrong. Except when somebody's trying to do it to you. Trying to get you caught up into something and then suck the life out of you. Whee! Anyway, so when you get that time, you say, get that web. You just kind of get your little flamethrower. It's just, I mean, it's so pretty. It's almost like a covering. You know, it's almost like, we got you, man. You can't, if you try to move, you're going to get caught in the web. Yeah, if you try to do one thing, we got you. Yeah, you are gotten. And then they don't know that in my pocket I have this little flamethrower thing, that little flicker barbecue thing. They think it's from a barbecue, but they don't realize it's for their web. And you pull it out, and you just flick it one time, and it just, because the way that what that spider web is made up of is like gaseous stuff, gas, you know, like it's inflammable material. And so you just light it. You know, I have to hit it a couple of different places, but it just kind of just goes up like a firecracker, you know, like the thing you put on a firecracker. You light the, like when you light the fuse, the spider web is one big fuse. And all that work just goes down. And the spider can still get right with God, but most of them don't. By the time they've gone that far, their mind is so consumed with it, they usually don't repent. But God is the last, the last resort person, so it's amazing. All right, y'all, I think I've said enough tonight to get myself in trouble for a couple of weeks, so I'm going to have to like take a break from it. But I have a lot more. Wait till I can tell you the details of stuff, man. Woo! It's going to just make you, it's just so dadgum revealing, man. It's so revealing. I mean, it's just amazing. Communion and get forgiveness for me talking too much. If I just added names, not just names of people that try to build webs, but, you know, officials, attorneys, judges, a couple of judges, I don't want to exaggerate, a couple of judges went up in flames. That was amazing. When I can tell all that, it's going to be good. And, man, they just weave that web. You can, you know something, at first you kind of know something weird about the whole thing, but then, you know, you're aware, and yet you're not even aware of how aware you are until you're there, and then you go, oh, my God, that's what this is. And then you watch them do their thing, knowing what they're doing, right? And yet, because God exposes it, they can't finish it because God steps in and does some whacking. He starts whacking. I'm not talking about killing people. That too. But, I mean, I'm talking about whacking stuff. God is a big whacker. He's got a big sword and a big bat. And he knows how to get a whip. I call it the whip, Jesus whip. He's got a big whip. And when he gets ready to apply it, you better watch out. You better not pout. Better not cry. I'm telling you why. Just repent and get right with God. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you're a big old fake. So be fake for goodness sakes. Oh, we better get right. You better repent. Anyway, okay, let's take communion before I'm losing it, man. Let's move on. All right, 1 Corinthians 11. I can sober myself up here. Spirit you speak in, of course. Holy Ghost juice. There's nothing like it. Better not, pals. I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming to town. Because he knows when you're naughty, and he knows when you are nice. He knows when you've been good or bad, so get right, for goodness sakes. Hey, go here and 1 Corinthians 11. I'm not in a preaching mode tonight, or I'd take off on that, right? You know what I think about this thing here. Thank you, by the way, for giving to PGN, helping PGN. Thank you for that. Thanks for all those who love us and appreciate, you know, what we do. I think you're going to appreciate a lot more when we especially document these words as we get them out to you and get our website together. It's a little bit, it's a lot slower than I thought because they're putting it together. So I'm having to work with these people, right, and I'm doing it all by text and actually email, you know, and so it's a real pain in the neck. So pray for me. That's one of the things I'm doing. I'm telling you, it's like so many things going on at the same time that I need strength and grace, and God has given it to me for sure. So thanks for your prayers. All right, we've got a lot of things going on, and we're going to get a lot of documentation on the website. And, of course, we keep our documentation hidden, basically, you know, so that it can't be destroyed. Because we're going to God's going to, it's just like when they wrote the word, they had to hide it, right? Everyone in the old days when they wrote the word, they had to hide it because the devil is out to destroy documentation. So that's why I document it in ways that, you know, I don't want to even talk about because, you know, I've had people try to destroy things already. That's why, that's the real reason that I moved my site was because I've had people try to go in there and they have tried to destroy things. And but they didn't know that I also documented it double, and so it really didn't do any good. But you know, so anyway, I just didn't want this documentation, this holy documentation, to be subject to, you know, because a lot of people, even people that have been on the shows years ago, they still have access to it. I don't know how. I try to get Blog Talk to fix that, and they couldn't fix it, or didn't fix it, or wouldn't, or something. I don't know. So I finally, after a couple of years of working on it, said, "Well, just get a, you know, I paid for a year for a whole new Blog Talk, you know, outlet and phone numbers and everything because I couldn't get it done any other way, right?" And now I'm telling the real reason why I did it, and it's mainly because people that were on years ago had access to it, and it's some, and like I said, even though I documented it in other ways too, separate from that, but it's just. Anyway, the Blog Talk one is the one I like to play back. It's the best as far as playback. Okay, all right, so let's take communion together. Now you know some of my secrets. All right, let's take it together as the body of Christ. We love you, Jesus. All the apostles said here, you know, he's opening up about how Jesus has been talking to him. And he said, I receive from the Lord information that now that I'm delivering to you, that the Lord Jesus on the very night, same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat it, friend." Amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup, lift the cup up, Lord, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me," saith the Lord. It's true. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray over offerings, and let's move on. I'm not going to preach on any of that. I'm not in a preaching mode tonight, kind of in a talking mode, so I just go with what God gives me the best I can. And pray for me that I will continue to get God's stuff done in the fashion that he wants me to get it done in. right? And that if I mess up something, I can go back and fix it or whatever, repair, do things, and get things all out there into the open. Okay? Okay. Q, and I'm going to make sure, give me just a moment here. I'm going to go through all, make sure I get all the offerings in. Thank you for giving. Thanks for loving PGN. We appreciate it. Thanks for your communication. I appreciate it. If you've given tonight, hopefully we got it in front of us. Hopefully we have not missed anything. All right. He knows when you've been naughty, and he knows when you've been nice. Right? It's not just naughty. Everybody's naughty. Some people are really naughty. Some people are really nice. He knows it all. And he loves us. It's amazing. But he didn't want us to stay like that, right? He wants us to get set free. That's the cool part. He just doesn't want to leave us like that. He wants us to be set free. All right. Yeah, and I want to just tell you sometimes when people are being used to build that web around you, they don't even know what they're doing. They don't know the devil using them. I want to talk on their behalf, some people's behalf. They're bitter. They're angry. They've been wounded by leadership, by their father, maybe their mother, and sometimes they want to try you, hoping that you're pure, but probably pretty sure you're not. Experiences that they've had with the leadership. So some people try to take you down. Some people try you, not necessarily that they're trying to try you, but in their heart they're saying, yeah, you know, you're probably messed up. And they find out you're not messed up and that you don't go for that stuff, you know, then some people get in, you know, they feel rejected and they attack you. Oh, how dare you, you know, not go for my stuff. You don't like me, you don't want me, even though they know you're married here, or they know that you're whatever, you don't go do those things. And sometimes they feel rejected and they come after you because of it. Or they, you know, they repent, get right. Say, well, you know, wow. He really was right. He really did good. So, you know, and they love you more. Some people don't. They turn on you and they turn vicious. They turn into Jezebel. Basically, I don't like to call people Jezebel because of my experience with that stuff. But that's what they do. They become Jesse's flamed, 100% flame-throwing devils. And it's pretty crazy. And you see the hurt and the pain that they go through. It's really devastating to them to see. It's really hard to watch it because when they don't accept the fact that you didn't go for their stuff and burn their little web up in flames, and some of them come back to try it a second time. Yeah, they'll come back and try it a second time. But they don't know that you already know what their motives are. You already know what their intentions are. Hoping they're going to change. Sometimes I let people back in because I think, you know, I'm hoping they're going to change. I hope, you know, let's give them a chance. Give them a chance, man. And if you're strong in Jesus, if you're weak, I would say don't do that. But if you're strong in the Lord and you know, and you have information, you know exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it, and that they're doing it out of hurt, they're doing it out of whatever, then you can, you know, help the best for them. I mean that literally. So it's not all just like they're all demons and all babies. Sometimes they're hurting many people. Sometimes they are a strategy from Satan. Sometimes Satan plants them among you. Sometimes they just fall among you kind of like scattered out and they happen to land in your area and then without evil intentions, but they still have those hurts and those wounds, so therefore they try to test you, so to speak, right? And when they find out you don't do that, then they, you know, get right with you and they say, okay, I'm sorry I did that, and they change. some don't. Some get kicked off and bitter about it. You don't love me, do you? You don't like me, do you? Like that, like they get really offended, and it's like so childish. But it's because they never grew up. They're still little children inside their heart, and they act like children. So, not all evil. Sometimes it's just human errors and mistakes, bad stuff. Okay, what am I doing here? I'm almost ready to travel. I'm trying to gather them in, so give me just a second here, please. Okay. Okay. All right. I think it's about it. People give during the show. We'll stop and look at that. If you give too late, I put you at the bottom. We'll just, when it gets too late, then I just put your offering at the bottom. We'll do it then, okay? Just so you know. All righty. One more time, and then we'll move from there. Give me just a moment here. Things happen during the show. Okay. Okay. Wow. Okay, Jeannie's saying something here. I wondered why God didn't expose the thievery of inheritance from my brother after he had said it would be exposed to this day. There is a lot of things being exposed. Some things are not exposed yet. Sometimes we misinterpret exposure, like, just like Joseph misunderstood things. You know, sometimes the thing still is, can be right and be done in a way that, you know, is different than we think. So I don't understand everything either. Just like a lot of things, sometimes for years, the truth about Joseph and what happened with Joseph, even the fact that he was 15 years later, Joseph's, the truth about Joseph, they told that his brothers who sold him out told his father that a wolf ate him up. Remember, they took blood and put it on his little garment, his little coat, his little many-colored coat, put blood on it, and told their father that, you know, a wolf must have got ate him up, right? That wasn't exposed for like 15, 16, 17 years. So, we all don't always know the intent of things. And, and Joseph had to learn how to, his brothers who had deliberately and willfully messed him up, you know, because God had used all that, later on, I don't want to get into that right now. I think you're trying to explain all that. But his brothers still, even after Joseph's father died, their father died in Egypt. Right? And you should have heard some of the prophecies Jacob prophesied over his sons before he died in Egypt in front of Joseph right there. Some of his brothers got some scathing words that were just like, whoa. My Lord and my God. I mean, I can't believe Jacob prophesied that over some of his own sons, because they were, he said, you, I think Reuben, whatever one, I don't remember, his firstborn, you slept with your father's, you know, in your father's bed with some of his wives. I mean, go read it for yourself. He prophesied that over him when he was prophesying over them. He gathered his whole family and said, I'm going to prophesy over you now. All 12, he prophesied over 12, 13, 14, about 14 people. Joseph had two sons. He prophesied over every one of them. I'm about prophesying here, you know. He had a prophecy show to 12, 13, 14 people he prophesied over there. And then he was on his deathbed when he did that, bless his heart. So that was, you know, his brothers were still kind of messed up. And that's why Joseph did not trust them either. Why do you think he tried them? Because he didn't trust them. All right, let's move on and talk and pray for offerings. Okay. All right. Once I get in a vein, it's hard to shift gears. One more thing, and then we're going to do it. I'm almost there. There's a lot that goes on. Sometimes the internet slows things down a little bit. Okay. All right. Let's pray. I'll just speak over. Wow, I did not know it did that. That's just really cool. I just found out something about my computer. Okay. I think everybody, all the offerings here for now, so let's pray for them right now. Thank you for that. All right, Nicole, $3.33. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Lord, for the new adventures, Lord, that you have her on, that new adventuresome, like a new adventuresome thing happening, like a new adventure you're on. Like a new adventure. So that's where it keeps kind of like a new adventure. I don't know if it's just a spiritual thing with you or a physical thing, but on a new adventure and doing that, you know, the spirit of that, like on, you know, discovering new worlds, discovering new things, you know, part of you that is like a child inside of you that loves to, you know, discover things and all that. You're going to start watching that. Like I said, I don't know if it's a spiritual thing coming up inside of you that maybe it's been not let, God has not let it develop yet in a way, in the way that it's going to. But I see that happening. And therefore, it's going to, that adventuresome thing in you is going to be, you know, create some new fun. You know, some new adventures. And look at things like an adventure, right? Look at things like an adventure. And when you look at things as an adventure, they're not a big pain in the neck, right? It's kind of like it's an adventure that you're on. And so that's pretty cool. Wow, thank you, Lord, for that. That's pretty cool. That's pretty interesting. Adventuresome thing. If someone's having headaches, I don't know if you have headaches like in the back left-hand side of your brain, your head, but I speak over that right now in the name of Jesus, and I command that to be gone right now in Jesus' name, right, in the name of Jesus, be gone, be blessed, be healed, be touched in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Maybe something in your brain needs some food or needs some, you know, whatever. I don't know. Nurture it, God, in Jesus' name, supernaturally. All right, Mike, $5. Thank you, Lord, for Mike. And thanks for texting tonight. Let me know you're out there. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for Mike. God, I thank you for the Prince of Peace, God, the Prince of Peace. Learning to live with the Prince of Peace, with the wisdom of a peacemaker, the Prince of Peace. Because when the Prince of Peace, and Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, it's like learning how to bring true peace, learning how to walk in peace and be a peacemaker, And, you know, a peacemaker is not a compromiser who just goes along with anything just to make peace. A true peacemaker makes true peace, right? In other words, he goes in and, like, if you need to pray over a certain area and you know, bring down the enemy's strategies and blah, 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 on, and bring true peace to an area, like a prayer. It can also bring peace to, you know, a situation in your life, you know, anything. Praying and bringing forth the truth and, yeah, so praise God for that. Like, God bring you to a whole other level in that, a whole new place of authority in that, where you walk in a whole other level of authority of bringing peace, you know, like true peace. Like, sometimes casting the devil out of somebody, they can get counseling, you all kind of, until they get that devil cast out, they don't have true peace. Right? So bring you true peace in whatever way that God has it. It's like God giving you wisdom in the being a peacemaker, a true peacemaker, not a false peacemaker, but a true peacemaker. You know, there's peace that God comes and dwells, right? So the dwelling of God, the peace of God, the tabernacle with God, in Jesus' name, and bless that right now. Amen. And Barbara, $5. Thank you for that. I said in seed for something. I forgot what you said the seed was for. You tell me that. I don't even know. Okay, hang on a second. Check this out. Give me a minute. Power. Jesus, help me with this. Where did I see that? Okay, there it is. Okay, for seeds. Okay, just seeds in general. Yes, Lord, thank you for seeds. We just bless that everything we do is a seed. And I thank you, Lord, that you give her that revelation, Father, more and more, that we let everyone know that everything you do is a seed. Your motives are a seed. Your intentions are a seed, good and bad. Every kind of everything we do is a seed, like a seed. And sometimes we pluck up things before they get a chance to go. We repent, get right, you know, like, and say, oh, God, I'm sorry I said that. Sorry I did that. And pluck that thing up as quick as possible, knowing that it's going to bring forth, you know, a result. Seed always brings forth result. We plant good seeds. We have great results. We bring forth carnal seeds, whatever they are, and bring forth carnal results, fleshly results, results that are just have nothing to them, but they're just flesh. They're just dead. The flesh is dead. Right, so God's showing you, God's going to even give you more understanding about that, that the thought realm is seed. You know, the enemy's always trying to plant seed. That's why I said the Son of Man plant goes forth sowing seed. Well, so does the devil. The devil plants seeds of thoughts. Thoughts are seeds. He plants them as seeds of thoughts. And seeing that at a whole other level and taking captive thoughts is really the realm of taking captive seeds. Right, before they get planted in our brains, or, you know, as we teach other people how to not let those seeds get planted in your brain. We're going to have all kinds of seeds coming our way, but we don't have to, we can do away with them, right, to keep them from taking root in our life. Sometimes people have to root up trees when they've been growing for years. I've had to do some things like that. Some people root up some trees that have been there for a few years. I've had some of that. People root up trees that have been there for a few months. Add that too. So if we learn to catch things before they get too big of a root system, they're a lot easier to pull out, a lot easier to deal with. And so people don't realize that. They don't think. They don't even think. If they let a thought keep coming in, that thought keeps coming in and coming in, you start believing something, then it starts getting watered, then it gets fertilized through circumstances, you know, and then pretty soon it's just like taking over our thoughts, you know. And it can be good. That's a good thing. The thing taking over your thoughts can be a holy thing. That's why the seed, planting the seed of the Word of God is everything. Because when you do that, you know that if you plant it and that person will meditate on it or water it, meditate on it and fertilize it, meditate on that word and let it become part of their system, get it planted deep inside them, then it will bring forth great fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Sarah, $5. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you to bless her and multiply her and increase her, God. I just speak the blessing of increase on your life, Sarah, multiplication and increase. In Jesus' name, may you increase. May you multiply. And when we speak that, it's just not the good that's going to be increased, multiplied. So therefore, we have to be, people speak multiplication in our life. We need to understand that that's in everything. So we plant good seeds and watch those seeds multiply and increase. If we plant carnal seeds, same thing. So thank you, Lord, that you increase and multiply her, God, and show her how to increase. Increasing and multiplying isn't just praying over something and say increase and multiplying. That's part of it. But increasing and multiplying is planting seeds, is increasing and multiplying. God told Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Yes, he was talking about kids too, giving him some babies. He loves the babies. And he hates it when we kill the babies and what it does to the women who do it, the devastation, and the fathers too. So thank you, Lord, for that multiplication and increase in her life, God, in Jesus' name. And bring down every imagination that would cause trouble, and bring forth every godly imagination from the heavens of things that are above your thinking that you could never think of, but that God plants those imaginations in you that are from him so you can dream about them, and let those good things just increase and take over your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. And just keep on watering those good things that have been planted in our life. And the things that have been planted in our life that are not good things, that were carnal things by other people, by parents, by friends, by teachers, by whoever they were, we got to pluck those things up, man. Because we're not talking about plucking up people. We're talking about plucking up thoughts. All right, we can't pluck up people. Matthew 13, people grow together. The righteous and the unrighteous will grow together until the harvest time, Matthew 13. But in our own life, it's different. You can pluck up. All right, and the sooner we get it, the less territory those roots have taken over. So it's better to get a hold of those thoughts. Sometimes it's very painful to pull up things that have been there for a while. Why? Because they've gotten rid in so many different areas of our life. And it takes time for them to, you know, like Jesus went right to the root system, right? Most people don't. So God teaches Sarah how to go to the root systems and bless the root systems that are good and curse the root systems that have brought no fruit in her life, God. No matter how beautiful the people were, if it wasn't God's seed, God things to be multiplied, then we don't want to multiply. We want to get them out. Keep in all the good stuff. Throw away the bad fish, keep the good fish. Jesus said when they gathered in a net, throw the bad fish away, keep the good fish. Same thing in our lives. We told them, just for a process that goes on all the time. All right, Andrea, $5. Thank you, Lord, for that political understanding, that understanding from the Holy Spirit of governing, of ruling, of why God chooses rulers, why God chooses some men, why God chooses some women to do certain things, because they have this ruler thing inside them. And Lord, I thank you that you show her and teach her how to, that whole ruling and dominion area, where ruling and dominion is very, very powerful in Jesus' name. And who rules and who, you know, God in the Bible talks about where he gave, you know, 5 talents and the guy turned it to 10. Well, he ruled more cities than all the rest of them did. Why? Because the master already knew he had the ability to do it, so he gave him enough for his abilities to be used to the fullest, and he used them to the fullest. Therefore, God says, now that you've done that, I'm going to add you more. So that's why God puts people in position to rent, because they bear fruit. They bring forth things. And Lord, show her that with dealing in prayer with people who don't do things, who lie and cheat and steal and rob and don't produce fruit, but take things, that we get those people out of our personal systems and believe God to put good people in those places of ruling and reigning, you know, whether it be school boards, whether it be, you know, whatever it is. And they have good rulers and good managers. All right, Angela Joy, $8.80 from last week. I forgot to pray with Angela Joy's last week from 888. So what a great number. Thank you, Lord, for just those new beginnings, God. You know, we can have new beginnings. Mercy is new every morning. And I thank you, Lord, for drawing her into that new thing that things can be new every morning, or at least refreshed and made new. Some things can be made completely new. Show Angela Joy the things that need to be completely renewed and some of the things that just need to be, you know, blessed and refreshed. Some things God just refreshes. Some things he has to, like, completely renew them. So I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Open that up in their life, God, in Jesus' name, to where she can see the things that need to be. Some things can't be renewed. Some things can't be changed. They have to just be burned. Right? You know about all this. And so sometimes things have to be burned away. Some things can be renewed. Some people can repent and get right and have a relationship, have a friendship because they repented, truly repented. And repentant means to not just say you're sorry 100 times, but it is to walk away from it. Maybe after being sorry once or being sorry 10 times, you know, but not just like over and over and over again. It's like sometimes we have to forgive a whole bunch of times because sometimes it takes some people time to change before they can actually change. It takes that much time to change. Right? So that's why you have to keep forgiving until they change. Sometimes people will change. There is hope. Believe me, I've seen some people change that I thought would never change. I'm always giving people a chance to change, right? Because I know people give me a chance to change. Yeah, we need to give people a chance to change. And if they don't change, then that's different. And we deal with it when we come across that. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Into the joy, restoration, that's what I say. Lord says, Shalonda, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Shalonda. Thank you, Lord, for keep her in the covenant. Show her about the covenant, how to keep the covenant. People think that because they're Christians, they're walking in the covenant. No, you walk in the covenant with obedience to God. You know, when God tells us to do something, he's telling us to do something because it makes his kingdom better. He needs to get a word to somebody that maybe nobody else will give him a word or, you know, pray for them or share with them or just love them. And he can send us to because he's concerned about every little detail of his kingdom. And he's got millions and billions of people around the globe. And every person is important to God because every person, Shalonda, like you, has the power to plant the seed God gives you into somebody's life that God knows nobody else is going to do it, but he's going to use you. So you start seeing your value and the power you have and the ability to you know, be used in God's kingdom. To influence, because see, that's the thing. Most people think God just really concerned about the big things. Fix the big thing, everything else changes. Not really. Change the little things, the little foxes, bowl of mine, and God wants us to preach the gospel or share a talk or pray or love, befriend people that with the gospel message in our heart toward them, you know, to get the message in them of Jesus. And so it's important. God cares about every soul and every person. And I thank you, Lord, for showing Shalonda that, God, how important her role is in life and being a caretaker of Jesus and whoever, whatever. So you're going to touch people, Shalonda, that nobody else is going to touch. God goes, man, if that girl hadn't known what I said, that person would have went to hell or would have lived the rest of their Christian life discouraged or whatever, committed suicide or what. You never know, right? Yeah. All right, Sally, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Sally. Thank you, Lord, for the friendship around with her, God, that God's showing you that you're his friend. You're not just a servant and a slave. As you know, I think you know, I already know all this anyway, that you're not a servant. You know, you're not a slave. You're not just a servant. You're a friend. And God's showing you you're a friend. You have friendship with God. And we got to quit idolizing people who we think are friends of God. When in all truth, God wants us to be his friend. You are his friend. And he just wants you to know that you're in a friendship realm with him and to start understanding that, start seeing that, start having your eyes open to that, to the friendship realm of God so that you can, you know, have the friendship fellowship. It's a whole different fellowship, friendship. Friendship is your friends. You sit down and you like each other and kind of, he's got something that you need and, all right? And you know, we got something that he needs. What does God need from us? Oh, he needs us to just, you know, love him and obey him and walk with him and, you know, worship him. You know, he likes it. He loves it. You know, that's what friends do. They honor each other. They take care of each other. He takes care of your stuff. You take care of his stuff. He takes care of your stuff. You know, you take care of his. He takes care of yours. It's a friend. It's a friend. And God wants to open that up to you, what that really is, what that really means, and how to flow in it. Amen. So they will say, Sally from UK. She was the girl from UK. She would say, the girl from UK, I'm your friend, oh God. I'm your friend, oh God. I'm your friend, oh God. That's my friend. Yeah, he's my friend and I'm his friend. Yeah, no matter what we do, I bend. And whatever he wants me to do, I just bend over and worship him and do it. I'm his friend. Yeah. You watch his back, he watches your back. Yeah, really cool. All right, Daryl Paul, $10. Thank you, Daryl Paul. Thank you, G. I got a good laugh when you did that. I hope you know that. It was really fun. I get a laugh off really different things sometimes. It's amazing. Hi, guys. It's like I just see you doing this thing with your life, like, and just enjoying yourself, not taking yourself too serious. One of my biggest problems, Daryl Paul, has been I've taken myself so serious for so long that, you know, it was just like, it was just not much fun. And then later I started becoming fun, you know, not just with people, but with God, trying to have fun, enjoying people. When you enjoy people, it's automatic fun. Open you up to enjoying people more and to, you know, seeing people in, in a beautiful way to where you just enjoy them more and more and more. And the more you enjoy them, the more joy comes and friendship and blessing and just life is, full of daily treasures of, being friends with people and liking people and finding something about them to like. You know, God showing you things about them. Hey, Paul, Daryl Paul, look at this. What do you think about that? I really like this thing about that person. Oh, and you go, yeah, you know what? I can see that now. I think I like it too, God. God goes, good job. You're getting it. You like what I like, and I like what you like. What we like together, and so thank you, Jesus, that our likes become the same. We like what God likes, and God likes what we like, because we like what he likes. Right? It's really that simple. But our desires become the same. His desires become ours, and they literally become ours. And when he likes people, when he enjoys people, then we enjoy them too. That's really cool. Really, really cool. All right, and the blessings that flow with that are amazing. All right, Veronica, $15. Thank you, Veronica. To see the shepherd in you, the shepherd in you, the shepherd in you, the shepherd in you. Hallelujah. A shepherd has sometimes the job of a shepherd is difficult because you want to see, your familia do good. You want to see the family do well. You want to see them get along. You want to see them, help each other. You want to see them learn to see good in each other. You want all that. And so you work at, and God's showing you ways to work that thing to help make things happen in a way that people, start loving and caring for one another. Right? That's what the family of God is. It's loving and caring. We may not agree with everybody, but we learn to love and care for them. Right? It's a beautiful thing. And love and care, the shepherd part of your heart. Which you get great joy out of doing that, and that's why God loves it. Believe me, it's pretty cool. Okay, hang on a second. I just realized I missed an offering there. Sorry about that. Let's go to, I think, Deborah. Thank you, Deborah. I almost got it. I passed you up a little bit, but not much. If she's listening tonight, Deborah, if you're listening tonight, I almost missed you there. Thank you, Deborah, for that 11, 11, 11, number 11. 11 matches heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Deborah and John. Thank you, Jesus, for their love for you, Father. Thank you for their love for each other. God is developing your love for each other. I see God maturing your love. of course, our level always matures, right? It's like wine. They say how wine matures, how wine, you know, the oldest wine is the best. And so like that kind of, you know, saying, and so that God is really doing that with you, and he's also doing it with many areas of your life, like the prophetic part of your life. I know that you gave on your show, you gave a word about something to do with the Texas currency thing. I forget what that was, but what was that? Joining together. Let me see. What was that? I can't remember what that word was. But yeah, you had that word. He gave that word. At least that part of the word came to you during your show. And so, you know, like that's what I'm saying. It's like this, the wine of the spirit, of the prophetic part of you is starting to, you know, become richer and richer and richer. And the richer that we grow in that, the richer, you know, we become with joy and peace. And there's nothing like, you know, watching God, you know, bring to pass and show things to you, and then watching God Almighty show you. There's nothing like that. I mean, I live in that too. And so it's nothing like it. And I see God, like, you know, making that richer and fuller. The wine, it's like I keep hearing the word, the wine of the spirit, the wine of prophecy, the wine of your love between you and John, the wine of your love, you know, like that's becoming, you know, more rich and more full. And God's developing that in your life. And, you know, and because of that, as we learn to hear from God, and as you're hearing from God, and learn how to just let him speak out of your mouth without you even knowing exactly where it's going to go, and just kind of fall into information, it takes faith to do that. And so the more you are that's developing in you, and you start just letting things come, you know, your thought processes go with God, that's really what thinking like God thinks, is you let your mind go into the Lord, and the Spirit of God develops thought processes in you, and then you go back and look at them later, like I'm doing right now with all the words I've given. I go back and look at them. My Lord, I didn't even know I said that specifically. I didn't even know that. Well, yeah, it's getting richer and richer, you know? That's what I'm talking about with you. So when that gets richer with you, you step into the treasures of God's treasury chest of his word realm. And it's a beautiful thing. The treasures of God's word are higher. I guess I'd rather have that than, you know, money to live. I'd rather live on the street if I had to, and have the word of the Lord always, because I feel loved and I feel rich because God is speaking through me and to me, and that you cannot beat. Amen. In Jesus' name. So bless John. God, give John your grace to be part of everything, where he learns how to join in with things and learns how to be a part of things with little effort, where it's not an effort to do it. Like with me, it was hard for me to join in things years ago. I mean, I had a hard time just like joining in with the, you know, because I didn't understand. I didn't know. I didn't feel like I was worthy. I didn't feel like I was, you know, as good at it as they were. And so I had to learn how to, you know, melt in and fit in. I think the Lord, you're teaching John more and more how to fit into things, to join in and be a part of, even though he may feel like he doesn't have as much to offer as other people. Sometimes he has more to offer than they do, and show him how to fit into those things where he feels like he has less to offer, at least at this point. And then as it grows and enriches, that he's going to find himself functioning in areas with God that he didn't even know he had. Amen. All right, Shannon. Hang on, Shannon. Trying to look at something here. Okay. All right, Shannon. Praise the watch and protected, spirit, soul, and body. All right, Deborah and John, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, Shannon, $25, watch to be protected, body, soul, and spirit, and make right choices, I think. Yeah, the rest of that message is not showing up on my phone. It shows up on the computer, not on my phone. I don't have my computer up. I'm going to have my Subsplash up on the computer. But making right decisions, is that what that is? Making All I got is make and then R-I. I think I'm making right decisions. So thank you, Lord, for Shannon, God, that you protect his wife, future wife, whatever, spirit, soul, and body. We plead the blood over her. Thank you, God, that no weapon that can be formed against her will prosper. In Jesus' name, we'll be equipped to be protected, be watched over. In Jesus' name, so that all things can work together for good. In the name of Jesus, we plead your blood. We thank you, Lord, for any fears that try to dominate, any fears that try to take control, any fears that try to work. We speak over that in Jesus' name, that it be, it be activated, the hedge about it in Jesus' name, the hedge of the Lord. Amen. The hedge of the Lord. We know that hedge is pretty strong, right? Because Satan couldn't even touch Job until God moved it. That is amazing. That is amazing. Amazing. Sweet the sound. All right, Shannon. Amen. All right, Sandra, $25. Sandra and Robert. Thank you, Lord, for Sandra and Robert. We thank you, Jesus, for activating their faith, Father. And I think what's happening, one of the things that's happening with you guys, with you, is he's causing you to dig deeper and find faith levels that you didn't know you had and activate, especially in the comfort realm. Comfort is not just comfort you because you're hurting. Sometimes comforting is to give you, the comforter gives you wisdom on how to comfort others. You know, true comfort. Some people give people false comfort all the time, like false prophecies. You know, they give people false comfort sometimes. And God wants to bring true comfort, right? And that's what I'm saying. God's called you. I think your main calling, Sandra, is to be a comforter. A comforter isn't just somebody who makes you feel good in their pain. A comforter helps them to move past that pain and move into true comfort, comfortable in their own skin. And with Robert, you know, I see God making you even, you know, both of y'all, but especially Robert, making you more comfortable in your skin. Robert, it took me a while to find out who I was in God, served God for many years before I really found out who I was. And when I did, then I had to be comfortable in my own skin. And the more I became comfortable in my own skin, the skin God gave me, right, when I became comfortable in that, then I was able to flow in my gifts and the things that God gave me. And even though I saw myself as not really having much, I found out that I had a lot more than I thought. And it was amazing, absolutely amazing. Shocking, actually. Like, oh my God, I've always been so, you know, down on myself as far as I always thought everybody had a lot more than what I had. And I started realizing, you know, because I wasn't doing, when you walk in the realm that you, and when you run in your lane fully developed, nobody can run in that lane like you run it. So therefore that makes you extremely valuable. But it takes time to figure out how to do that and walk in that. And the more you do it, the more you realize that nobody can fill this gap but Robert. Nobody can fill that gap but Robert. It's really important. All right, Bianca, $45. Thank you, Bianca. Thank you, Jesus, for Bianca. God, I thank you, Father, for everything. God, giving you a real sense of discernment. Sometimes you can, you know, I don't know if you literally do this or not, but smell, like a discerning person can smell the stench of cancer. And like they have dogs that can smell cancer, or they smell it. You can smell that, the stench of evil, the stench of bad motive, the stench of whatever. You can sense that and smell that. And but stepping beyond that, once you sense and smell that and know that there's something wrong going on, is how to fix it, like become a fixer. That's what I am. I'm a fixer. And God starts showing me how to fix things. Like you said, yeah, you see the wrong. Okay, now let's try to fix it, you know, or at least attempt to give that person or that thing every chance from God's perspective of how to fix it. You know, some people don't want to be fixed. Some things don't want to be fixed. Some things are not going to be fixed. But many things do and many things can't. So once you discern something, you're a discerner, man. You're discerning things. And be able to find out exactly what that – sometimes we can feel like something's wrong. Sometimes feeling something's wrong can be the person is hiding something, not because they're bad, but because they're ashamed of themselves, therefore they're hiding it. Some people hide things to be deceitful. So two people hiding things, you sense that hiding thing, but then to find out what the motivation is, you know, sometimes you have to expose evil. Sometimes you expose the shame to say, hey, you don't have to be ashamed anymore. You're forgiven or you're clean. You see what I'm saying? So discerning something and then being able to get God to show you how to change it, you know, if it can be changed, if they want it to change or if the circumstances can be changed. And God give you the wisdom how to do that, girl. Give you the wisdom how to help change something. You know, yeah, it's just powerful. All right, Carmen, 4742, it's just a cheerful giver, said. Amen, cheerful. In Jesus' name, we adore. We thank you for the sacrifices. We thank you for the Father for that giving, you know, above and beyond, Father. What you know, sometimes we do what we have to do. You know, there's time that I just do what I have to do because I'm like I don't even have the faith to do beyond what I have to do. You know, and then sometimes my faith level builds up and I start finding myself doing way beyond what I have to do into what, doing more, you know, because it's like the widow who gave too much. She had the faith level to give, even though her faith was higher than the multimillionaires, she had, the money situation was completely different with her, but yet God so said, this woman is amazing because she's given out of her giving, out of her living, out of her giving. She's giving out of her living. And Jesus said, man, this woman has got something happening here. And these other guys who have plenty of money, guess what? With their money comes great sorrow, right? And Jesus looked at them and said, man, these guys don't really give anything. You know, they're giving out of their excess. But so the whole thing of letting God develop that and bring that forth in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. The beauty out of ashes, believing God to break forth into a new place. Amen. I'm breaking something. It may not be about a lot of money. It may be a lot of money for me, but not so much for somebody else. But when I'm giving it, it's like it's for a breakthrough. Like I'm giving this. I can't even afford to do this, but I'm doing it, you know, because sometimes an offering has to be, it becomes a sacrifice that breaks you through into the next level. When it's the least, you know, it's not a good time to do this, but when God leads, we do it, and it breaks us through when God leads. I mean, because it's pain, it hurts, it costs you something, right? And God goes, she let that cost or something. So break through, you know. Yeah, Nikki, $50, pray for her inheritance. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for her inheritance. Jesus, her and Charles, of course. And Nikki's inheritance, God, we thank you, Father, for what you're doing in her life and bringing forth the fruit of their labors. In Jesus' name, the fruit of Nikki's labors, God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for breathing upon her offerings, breathing upon this $50 offering, God, toward her inheritance in Jesus' name. And of course, our inheritance, I don't know if you're talking about your national inheritance, but inheritance is what belongs to us from God. Sometimes that can come down to an uncle, a cousin. I know we've had people on the show that have received a lot of money from an uncle, you know, and didn't expect it. They all knew he had a little bit of money. They know he had that much money, you know, and boom, inheritance came. It was amazing. And that was, but also God can bring inheritance through things that we, you know, activate through faith, you know, the inheritance from God, which is a whole different thing. It's all God, but it's different. Some inheritance come down through people. God brings it through people. Sometimes he just brings it supernaturally and from him. The Lord bring both in Jesus' name. Let the double offering bring double in Jesus' name. For Charles, God, same thing. His inheritance, Father, in the spiritual realm, whatever it would be, doesn't matter. My inheritance from God, even in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the priest didn't have an inheritance from him. They owned, their inheritance came only from God. Yeah, that's a whole different story. But so I'm saying that, you know, the priesthood in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant didn't have an inheritance. God, you know, it came from God. Yeah, so it's amazing. Yeah, God made sure the priests were taken care of. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Marja, $50. Thank you, Marja, for that. In Jesus' name. Okay. God has been talking. Karma said, God has been, wow, God has been talking to me about the word heritage. Oh, really? Inheritance. Oh, interesting. Yeah, it's a thing going on with something. That arena is being, has been overlooked, underlooked in many places, and God's going to bring a balance to it and show what's really going on with it. And so our spiritual inheritance usually is activated by sacrificial faith. That's, you know, one way that it does. And so you hear preachers that have seen that, and the results of that have been amazing, but they take advantage of it and use it to raise money. But what I'm saying is that it's truly true. Anytime you see preachers take advantage of something, that means it actually works. But then they use it and work it, and they're supposed to do that. So inheritance, spiritual inheritance. Okay, Marja, obviously your spiritual inheritance, because I'm coming to you, $50, same thing. Something about your inheritance too, God. That I think it's used, our inheritance. It's not just, you know, some people have all the money in the world, but they don't have a husband. They have all the money in the world, and women that are multi-millionaires, some billionaires, and don't have a happy husband or a happy marriage. You know, they don't have a happy husband, happy wife, happy life, happy wife, happy life, happy husband, you know, happy marriage, you know. So that inheritance from God is bringing a happy husband, a happy wife, you know, or somebody that we can dwell with, happy kids, happy money, because some money comes. The Bible says that when God's money comes, it doesn't come with sorrow. There's no sorrow that comes with God's blessings. So in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for opening her up to that, God, and bringing her inheritance, her full inheritance from Jesus, and whatever inheritance, bring it forth in the name of the Lord. Bring it forth. All right, Angela from South Carolina, thank you, 7192. Thank you, Angela, in Jesus' name, Lord. I thank you for speaking your grace over her, God. I see God, you know, we all have weaknesses. We all have strengths. Paul the Apostle said, when I'm weak, God is strong. What do you mean by that, Angela? He meant that when in his weaknesses, in other words, his weakness was that he was so strong. He was so strong. How can that be your weakness when you're so strong? Because with God, your strengths become messed up stuff. Right, so he had to have a thorn in the flesh so that the grace of God could fill in the gaps of his, you know, strong will and ability to perform well, to performing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, performing under the thinking processes of the Holy Spirit. Right? So when his strong will became, when his strong will was getting in the way, he needed grace to whack it, basically. And so when he was weak, where he used to be strong, his strength got in the way. Now those strengths became weak through the thorn. They became weak. And when those strengths became weak, then God became the one who did the works. Paul was a good works person, big time, big works person. And he was truly a godly man and under the law. He was a true Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a really righteous Pharisee as far as a zealous for the law, those things. He was truly a sincere, God-fearing person. But it got in the way when it came to serving God because his strong will had to become weak and yield to the will of the Father and come into the strength of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying is that God's really going to, his grace is going to come in and fill in the areas that the things in your life that get in the way. It's like Paul the Apostle. It's like me. Some of my things that I'm strong in get in the way of God blessing me. So what happens? He gives me, you know, I go through these broken seasons, and my strengths, which is, you know, a fixer, I like to fix things. And one time, the more I tried to fix a certain thing, the worse it got. So it showed me that God's grace was working. My strength was I'm a fixer, so I'm going to fix this thing. The more I tried to fix it, God didn't want me to fix it. See, I thought he did. I tried to fix it, bow to it, fix it, try to fix it. And every time I tried to fix it, it got worse. So in that strength, fixer strength of mine, God went in there and made it weak where I quit trying to fix it. And the more I quit trying to fix it, the better it got, right? So when in my weakness, my strength became weak. I didn't let it work anymore trying to fix it. And therefore, God began to work it out. He got me where he wanted me to go. So we all have, everybody has something there, you know, where we're strong in and of ourselves, in a really a good way. Like Paul's strengths was good because they were activating the law, walking in the law. He was a righteous man, really, as you could be under the law. When it came to serving Jesus, it was just he needed just the opposite, become weak. He was not used to being weak, right? That dude, Angela, that dude was like hyper strong. You see it in his passion to persecute the church. It's amazing. His passion to persecute the church shows what a righteous man he was. And you know, if you know what I mean. I know that's going to sound contradictory to the word of God. Say hi, edita, what does that mean? In my weakness, he becomes strong. Is that what that means? Something like that. I don't have a clue. But you see, Angela, that's powerful, man, that God's speaking it to you, because that's what makes, because we have a lot of things we do in God, and some things that our strengths, that we're using our own strength, because it's a good kind of strength, at least to us. And God goes, man, you know, I don't want that strength. Yeah, it's beautiful in the natural, and yet it's, you know, like filthy rags to me. So he makes it weak, so that, you know, that strength in ours becomes weakened, and then God comes in and says, "Now I'm going to fill it. I'm going to fulfill, you know, yeah." And he fulfills it and makes things start happening. So everything starts working for good. The things we've already let God do in our life, the things that keep interfering with God because we keep trying to fix things that he didn't want us to fix. Stop fixing that, Chandler. I don't want you fixing that. Why? We gotta fix it, man. I gotta make this. In my opinion, if we don't fix this, it's gonna mess me up. And we need to fix it. He says, I don't want you to fix it. And it took me a long time to figure that out. Only that I'm gonna talk in detail about that particular situation, because it was the thing that brought me, you know, I was already living righteous. I was already living in the gifts, flowing the gifts. Reading my Bible, you know, on fire for Jesus, man. I'm trying to win the world, one way or the other. Literally, you know, I'm hard at it most of the time. And God says, you know, hey, that looks real good, Chandler, but I got to do some work on you, boy. Ouch, God. But it all worked out for good. All right, Deborah and Mark, $74. Thank you, Deborah and Mark. Thank you, Lord. I just, as soon as I said your name, I just felt this beautiful grace, this thing just saturating your soul, saturating you with like a gentleness from heaven, like the gentle Jesus. Wow, I love this. I love gentle Jesus. The gentle Jesus, the meek Lamb of God. Deborah and Mark, my God, you feel that? I don't know if you feel it or not, but it's just the gentle, meek part of Jesus. It's like, you know, God works on different parts of me at times where he's, you know, I'm having a hard time being gentle and meek. You know, like I'm, you know, meekness is not one of my, meekness is not my weakness, that's for sure. God says, I need that meekness to be in you. And I'm going, okay. So he starts working that part of my life, gentleness and meekness. And so I'm going like, wow, God. Woo. So I start seeing the gentle, meek side. So when I'm not gentle, I feel like I'm contradicting God. You know, and when he's really trying to help me with that, when I'm not gentle, you know, you can be gentle and strong. Right? And so I would be a little harsh, you know. I still can be harsh sometimes. because when I really am, I'm a very passionate person. So when I get passionate for something, I just get, I just go off the rock, man. I just go at it, boy. It's like, in some ways, like Paul the Apostle, I just go at it. And Jesus says, hey, hold on, boy, you persecute me. I went, what? I'm hot. I'm messing you up. What? Yeah. Let me give you some my meekness and my gentleness. And I go like, oh, okay. I mean, I don't have to be tough about that. He's, no, you're going about it the wrong way. Sorry. So when I start letting myself soak that in, I saw that a lot of my battle spirit, my fighting spirit, which I always thought was just absolutely wonderful, the Lord's going like, Paul was, Deborah, you know this, they might get, he was a battle, I mean, he would tear up some, man. He was a Benjaminite. Benjaminites go for the jugular. Read up on Benjaminites sometime. They're called the wolves. Wolves. They were wolves because they were mighty warriors. And that's what Paul was. He was a wolf. He went for the jugular. He didn't play around. And you see it with him going after Stephen. He went right for the jugular. Man, he didn't care anybody. I thought he was going for the big boys. Stephen was only a, he wasn't an apostle, but he was a big boy among the non-big boys that was a, becoming a big boy. He was not a five-fold ministry person, and yet miracles were happening through him. Paul could see, we're going to have to take that boy out, or he's going to, like, we're going to have a problem because of him. Because he was Stephen was wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and Paul could recognize that. And he said, we're going to go for the juggler with this boy. And taking Stephen out was a juggler move, in case y'all don't know that yet. You know, I've never thought about it. The juggler move. Interesting. Cool, man. All right, I'm getting a lot of things going on here, so I'm going to have to give me a second. Let me get back on track. Drinking that water. The dark Deborah Mark. Y'all feel that, man? I mean, like, you know, wow. Sometimes my warrior spirit, which God loves it because Paul the Apostle was a warrior. He was a Benjaminite. It was in his nature, and that's why God wanted him. Now, to me, that's the main reason God chose him, because he was like a go-for-the-juggler boy. You know, he took out Stephen. That was a sad day for the Christian world. Whew. Wow. Because Stephen was amazing. Mainly because he wasn't a five-fold ministry person. He was just he was a deacon. And my Lord and my God, the power of God and the wisdom of God through that man was amazing. Paul, you know, he's a smart guy, you know. As a warrior for God, he's thinking he's a warrior for God. He goes after the juggler, you know. Stephen, I take Stephen out. People are going to run. They're going to run then. When I get Stephen, they're going to run. That's what his little strategy was. I take out Stephen. Anybody else trying to be like Stephen that's not a five-foot-inch person, they're going to be like running. They're going to be like, they want to be like Stephen because they're going to die. Well, they were wrong, but that's what they thought. That's what Paul's warrior spirit was like. God goes, man, I like that boy. Woo, he is hot, man. So Paul gets on his horse going toward Damascus. And Jesus goes, all right, let's make the move now before he messes up anything else. He's messing up stuff. He's persecuting me. I mean, that's like he dealt a blow to Jesus. He was persecuting Jesus. That shows you what kind of, you know, some people persecute, but they don't persecute Jesus. I mean, Paul was going for the juggler, man, persecuting Jesus. When you look at Stephen, that was a big persecution of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? He was a warrior, man. And when Jesus felt that persecution, that he felt that, like, oh, my God, that was a big blow. He goes, I got to have him. He's good. Turn him completely around and turn that wolf part of him into the juggler part of him into an SOS where Paul became, of God, and that's what I see with you. So I see with y'all. I see y'all. God's opened you up to that. Sorry for that long explanation, but I'm kind of slow at explaining things. It takes a little time. But there you go. My Lord and my God, what's going on, y'all? I don't know, but that's amazing. Woo! Hallelujah. All right, Donald and Tanya, $80. Thank you, Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom. I just sense freedom. I just sense this thing. You're feeling free, free, free. Like out of Egypt or whatever. Out of free. You're feeling this freedom and this freedom in Jesus. So God's going to, he tests us in our freedom. See what we do with our freedom. It's like once somebody gets set free of something, when Israel came out of Egypt, they went into the wilderness. Joshua and Caleb, they did really good. Their new freedom was like, they were like, oh, whoa. But the rest of them, they just went in circles because their freedom just didn't do them much good. They just went in circles with it because they didn't know what, they never quite got a hold of freedom. They never quite got a hold of it. Like, I'd rather go back to Egypt and be in bondage. At least we got something to eat. but not Joshua and Caleb. They, and Moses, of course. And some others, of course. But generally, overall, most people didn't do good with their freedom. And so those that did, like Joshua and Caleb, moved on and moved on with God into the promised land. And so that's the whole thing about freedom, freedom, freedom. What are you going to do with your freedom? What you going to do with your freedom? What you going to do with your freedom? What do people do when they get free? Do they go back to their old stuff? Or do they go into the new land? Israel, for the most part, went in with their old way. They kept their old ways. But there was a couple of people, that didn't. They took their freedom and they, honored God. And, man, because of it, they became the next leaders of, So God raised them to be leaders. All right. Give me a second. Wow, that was amazing to me. What I saw right there instantly, just boom. People think I just have this stuff written down. I have nothing written down. There ain't nothing written down. I don't think I've written down sometimes when I'm revelating at the beginning of the show. I have a few little notes, and most of the time they just are splinters of the log going to unload. I don't always know where everything's going to go, but there's nothing written before. It's like the Holy Ghost just brings it out one after the other. I go, my God, you are amazing, Jesus. My God, this is amazing. Prophesy to 14 people on his deathbed. Surely we can prophesy to 40 or 50, in the prime of our spirit-filled Holy Ghost lives. He was not even, they didn't have a law then, but he was like, we have the Holy Ghost now. Surely. Yeah. So anyway, freedom. What you going to do with your freedom? Well, like Tanya and Donald and Tanya, like Joshua and Caleb, they did good with their freedom. And therefore, because they did, God honored them. And they were the only two, really, of the old crew. Isn't that right? They were the only two, Joshua and Caleb. Anybody else went in. So, woo-ah. All right, Jeannie, pray for Hollis. Hollis has something on his bladder. He's pray for that. Going to go in for a biopsy in a few days. So pray for Jeannie and Hollis and for Hollis, for his bladder. And there's a mass on his bladder. So pray for that. Dear God, dear Jesus, have mercy. God, thank you for the $80, Jeannie. And we just apply that, God, that application. In Jesus' name, to reveal all the hidden things, God, that have been hidden. Like that's kind of a hidden thing, like that's down in your body. You don't even know what's growing there. That's one reason I take Echinacea every day. See, people still don't have a hold of that yet. They still don't got it with Echinacea yet. Because you got to, do it. You can do what your doctor says the way I say it. mine is so far worked because the hidden things. It's not just the hidden things in his body, but the things that have been hidden from him. Well, kind of like your word earlier about hiding things being hidden. God's just going to do a thing about hidden things that are hidden. Hidden in our bodies, hidden in our finances, you know, that God wants to bless, that have been kept from us, whatever, you know, covered up or, you know, not revealed or whatever. And uncovering things. That's kind of a sign of what God's doing. You know, that's something that's hidden, something was uncovered. And so, if God uncovers things, he didn't uncover them to go, oh, yeah, he does it to heal it, to deliver it, to bring it forth, to bring forth the money, show me the money, to bring forth the cleansing, to bring forth the washing, to bring forth the restoration. Yeah, and bring forth, you know, a worship, a spirit of worship. That's what God wants, and we have to agree with it. We have to come into agreement with it and keep our eyes on Jesus when that storm hits us about those things, the hidden things being revealed, knowing that it's not about trying to take us down. You know, it's about getting it out in the open so it can be, you know, washed and cleansed and dealt with. So thank you, Jesus, for that. With Jeannie, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that what you're doing in their life, God, you're not finished. You know, God is going to do a continual work of revealing things, and not just, you know, like hidden money issues, or like I know Hollis has connections to the Indian reservations, that kind of thing, whatever, with all that. I can't remember the deal of that, but, you know, there's something about all that. And I don't know exactly what the hidden things we revealed, but it's not just not bad things unless, you know, if things are going to mess with us, yeah, he's going to reveal it. We can get it fixed now so we can be prepared for the future. And if we yield with it, we go with it, we ask God to show us, and it can be cleansed and washed and dealt with. I got some people right now in my life, people that I know, I got some pretty heavy-duty physical things going on with them. And it's scary, really scary. And but, you know, praise God. Sometimes you persevere, you become stronger. You know, if you get broken and your strengths become weaker and you become weakened, the poor in spirit, right? You become poor in spirit, and the kingdom of heaven becomes yours here on the earth. Amazing. So bless them, God, as you reveal your heavenly blessings in their life, things that have been hidden, in Jesus' name, to bring them forth. Rebuke the devourer, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Daniel, 153:55. Thank you, Daniel, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for Daniel. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all the activations of his faith, Father. And God's shown you, Daniel, practical ways to activate your faith, practical ways that are they're supernatural. But, you know, supernatural is super practical. Let's say it like that. God's going to open up to Daniel the super practical. The supernatural. Amen. The super practical. Because when you have wisdom to put the everyday practical things in order in God's way, that's when it becomes super practical or supernatural. And God's going to show you, it's showing you and open you up to that thing of supernatural and the super practical. You may call it the super practical. And opening up that, you know, Kathryn Coleman, who's one of my favorite. She's passed away now, but she was just so everyday, practical, you know, simple person. But yet she was very supernatural and very dramatic in some ways, but just very practical person who just was a down-to-earth person in so many ways, very practical, and yet supernatural. When those two things come together in balance, Daniel, it's amazing. Our God wants to use you. Ties with things that tried to suck the life out of us, you know, and that the practicality of God's word become alive, and then when we do it in God, then we don't get super hyper you know, some people are scared to commit super hyper supernatural and become a freak, you know. So and it's true, it can happen. A lot of people do that. But when you have the practical part of you and the super part of you together balanced, wow. I mean, that's what, you know, some of these people that I've heard of and know, read books about, miracles happen in their life. That was the balance that they had. Some people go way hyper super spiritual, and then they kind of break it down, they become more practical, and it kicks in. And then some people are so practical, they don't have any supernatural. In the supernatural, from a, doing it God's way of Holy Spirit, and then that's what happens. Super and the natural come together. Yeah, amen. So thank you, Jesus, for that with Daniel. Haley from Houston. Haley, my gosh, I haven't talked. I've talked to you off and on. I don't get to talk to you much, but thanks for calling in when you do. You called in just recently, but it's been a while. So thank you for giving tonight. $200. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Haley, God. Thank you for showing her how to persistently pursue you, in ways that understand. Well, you're gonna help her. You have a lot of understanding of things, Haley, that are very simple stuff. But the simple stuff, when it's put into action, it becomes wisdom. Right, so God is going to give you wisdom. You're going to put your simple, childlike heart and mind into action, and it's going to become wisdom for the older, wisdom for the elders, wisdom for. God wants to give you great wisdom, and you have a propensity to learn and absorb information. And once God, you know, first we have to get the information. First we start getting information in us, then we learn how to develop the information and give it out or use it. You know, if you can have a bunch of information, but if you don't learn how to put it all to use, or, you know, put most of it to use, then it does you no good, right? So, but when somebody can put that information to use, into action, then they become a very wise and very wanted person, and people say, man, you know, Haley's got wisdom. I don't know where she got all that. It's like with me. You know, I can prophesy and just go on from one thing to the next, hours and hours, you know, for long. We've been doing it for years. Why? Because I'm smart? Absolutely not. Because, you know, I keep myself full of information of the Word of God, and I listen to other people sometimes, very, very seldom anymore, really. I get little snippets of people, but I enjoy listening to people talk about God. I love hearing them talk about the Word of God. But, but all the information now gets kicked in, and now God uses it prophetically. So I have a vast knowledge of the Word of God, not as a theologian does, but as the overall insights to things into people's lives. And when you get an insight into Joseph or Jesus or whoever, Moses, you know, when you get insights to Abraham, when you get insight, you don't just read their information, but you get insights to them. You start getting downloaded all kinds of information. And when God wants to use that information on Haley or whoever I'm prophesying over, he brings it up, right? So it becomes useful and able to use to help people get things done, you know, one way or the other. So, okay. All right. Terrence and Tanisha, 260. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for blessing TNT, Terrence and Tanisha from Texas. 260, thank you. And thank you, Lord, for the peace, God, that God's showing you how to walk in peace when all what sometimes the devil does stuff, uses people, and sometimes it's just people are like little children. They just, if they think they can gig you and make you get you upset, and you show you're upset, then they always think, well, I got him. Oh, it's like God's showing you guys how to live in peace when the devil's trying to poke you and prod you, or even, you know, innocent children type people try to poke and prod you. If a little kid can find out that what messes with you, believe me, they never forget it. Oh, I got mom right there when she did that. I know how to really get her. With my mother, I knew how to get her gooser if I wanted to get it. I know how to do it. she finally figured out, I know what you're trying to do, Randy Chandler, because I knew that that particular thing would work, right? So when she caught on to it, it didn't work anymore. It's kind of like she stayed in peace, and I went, oh, shoot, you know. And Mom, she's figuring me out. And so, and it's that kind of thing. And then there's the devil kind of thing. So when, like, you hear these testimonies, Terrence and Tanisha, of people, great men of God, who wake up in the middle of the night and the devil stands for their bed and shaking their bed, waking them up. They go, they wake up, and instead of being scared and being in awe of the devil, they go like, devil, is that just, oh, it's just you? Get away from me, you devil. Get out of my life. They don't get shook up by it. They just see it, and they go, out, get out. You can't, how dare you come into my house like this, you unclean devil, get out. And so they don't get shook up, they just tell them to get out and gone. And then put my bed back where you put it, you know, get it back. Tell the devil to put their bed back where he, because he shook it up, moved it around a little bit. I mean, this stuff is real stuff I'm talking about. I can't think of the guy's name, but what was that guy's name? Anyway, Rod Parsley's spiritual father, it was him, I can't think of his name right now. I never did really get into him that much, but he was an awesome man. But he had stories like that. He was he'd cast the devil out of people, man. He was an amazing man of God. Lester Summerall. Lester Summerall? Was it Lester Summerall? That sounds right. I think it's right. Anyway, powerful man of God. He would have those experiences. So the main point is, like, God's showing you guys how to be in the peace, in the, you know, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, they're the children of God. And so it's like, you know, let me look that up for a second. Let me read that so I can quote it exactly right. I want to say it exactly right. Okay. Okay, Matthew's Beatitude, hold the well-worn saying, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Yeah, and so what I'm saying here is that the peace of God, of, you know, the peacemakers, and in order to be a peacemaker, you have to really walk in the true peace of God, not the fake peace, not the phony peace, the true peace of God. Sometimes you have to really shake something up to bring peace. Sometimes you have to let it flow. You know, whatever it takes to do it. So why is he saying they're the children of God? Because, you know, when we get shaken out and we start acting like, you know, non-children of God, it's like, so we get, the devil comes in, tries to shake us up, tries to, you know, this particular thing messes with them, so every time I want to get them out of peace, I go hit them with this. And we get out of peace temporarily. So if you don't, like Lester Summerall, I think it was Lester Summerall, when the devil came literally to his room and shook the bed, woke him up, and moved the bed around. He said, devil, is that just you? Oh, it's only you? Like, he didn't make a big deal. He came to harass him. Get out of my house. Put the bed back where you got it, and don't come back. Kind of like that. Kind of just got rid of him. So what did he do? He didn't get, Lester Summerall didn't get in the flesh and start crying, oh, my God, the devil's here. Jesus. You know, like, it's a scary thing to see the devil himself. I've seen him, and it ain't nothing you want to be, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so they remain at peace, so that the flow of their relationship with God and their inheritance and their blessings doesn't get kinked. Right. The devil tries to kink us up a little bit. Can't get kinky. You got to stay unkinked. Peacemakers. And, you know, so a true peacemaker. All right, and that anointing. And of course, peacemakers, like Jesus was a peacemaker. He could speak to a storm and say, peace, be still. You know, when you're a true peacemaker, I think you can make peace in any level, with storms, with anything, with people. All right, Chris from Texas, $300. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jesus, for Chris. I just realized most of our, you know, look at our last, all these people are Texas people. Chris, Texas, Terrence Justicia, Texas Haley, Texas Daniel, Texas Jeannie, Texas. Any of the Carmen's, Texas. Texas, I think she is. Several Texas people there. Not that it means anything. We got a lot of non-Texas people too. So anyway, it's all cool. But I just realized that the last 8 people have been Texas people. Wow. Okay. All right, Chris, $300. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of Solomon, God, that like Solomon knew how to provoke people to do the right thing. He knew how to challenge situations to get the truth out. You know, like he took the sword. I think to most people who feel like they thought he had lost his mind. Like he's going to cut the baby in half. 2 prostitutes brought in this baby. You know, they both said it was there, so he's trying to figure out which one was the real mother. And, you know, it really kind of, when you think about it, it was kind of simple, but and if you'd have been there, you think, he's going to get a sword and do what? You're going to, no, don't cut that baby in half. Going to cut the baby in half, right, with the real mother, of course. So he did that strategy total as almost like a shock thing, where if they'd had time to figure it out, you know, his strategy, the mother who the baby, who wasn't their baby, would have done the same thing the real mother did. Oh, no, don't hurt my baby. And then he would have been going like, okay. So both of you said it's your baby. So I still don't know whose baby it is. But he did it as a shock treatment. Like, he probably had, I don't know if he had it planned out or not, but he said, all right, get the sword and cut him in half. Like the sword meant, like, yes. They obeyed him quickly, right, because he was following. They got the sword and they picked and chopped the baby in half. And it came so fast. And nobody had time to think about anything except, that's my baby. And the other one who knew it wasn't her baby didn't care. Like, okay, yeah, go ahead. She didn't have a real affection for the child. She just wanted it to be, you know, because she lost hers. And so he used that wisdom, wise as a serpent wisdom, to get the real mother. And it had to be done, you know, quickly, sharp, you know, quick, sharp, and done just like that. And so that happened. And so God's really going to give you show you the spontaneous come from God, wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove, to get, you know, answers to come. And I think policemen use that strategy. A lot of people use that strategy, different things to get, knowing how human nature works. If they do a certain thing, that's going to bring out the real answer, the real thing. So God's showing you how to spontaneously, you know, get answers to things, you know, in a spontaneous fashion without a lot of long planning, you know, just like, boom, Lord says do this, and you do it, and like, oh, my God, now I know what the real answer to that is, because it just got exposed. It just got revealed because of that quick, spontaneous wisdom and strategy God gave to reveal. You know, like somebody, you can reveal a person's motive by doing a certain thing. You can reveal their motive in an instant you're sitting there talking with somebody and thinking, I don't know whether they're telling me the truth or not. And then he'll give you some kind of little something to do or say that will all of a sudden expose that they're lying or that they're telling the truth. You know, just like boom, boom, like that. So God's wanting to work you in that realm of wise as a serpent and harmless and gentle as a dove. Right, yeah. And so that's really important, especially when dealing with God's stuff and trying to stay on top like Solomon did. You know, he was a judge, and when you're a judge, you have to do that. You have to you have to find the truth. You want to, what's the real truth? So I can be a good judge, just find the real truth. That's why Solomon, when God asked Solomon what he wanted, he said, well, I want wisdom to judge your people. He went, oh, that's what I need is a judge that will want to be a righteous judge. Therefore, God gave him wisdom how to do things. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right, Kimberly, $25. Thank you for Kimberly and Derek. God, we thank you, Lord. Bless the name of Jesus. God, give them wisdom on how to let go on that God. And because when you let go on that God, then God gets that covenant thing going on where when we let go on that God, it puts a fear and reverence on people. Like, there's sometimes in my life where God has said, tell the person that you're connected with, maybe tightly, whatever level, that, you know, you want to go on, you want to move on and do your thing, you know, I'll let you go. I'll let you go. Do that. Okay. You want to do that? You can do it. And they look at you like all of a sudden they come unravel. Like, well, before they were kind of acting like they wanted to. I said, well, if you want to do that, go ahead and do it. So I learned how to yield people over to God. So you want to do that? Okay, go do it. Have fun. Enjoy it. If you know, hasta la vista, baby. And sometimes being willing to let go causes them to cut covenant with you. You know, where they're going on. Because sometimes you have to test things to see, like Abraham, when he offered up Isaac, God was testing to see if he was willing to let it go. Because he was willing to let it go, God said, no, don't touch him, and then he blessed him. God's showing you how to learn in any relationship, any business deals, anything. Sometimes you have to be not afraid to, okay, you want to do your thing? Go do it. And I'm gonna let go of you. Bye. See ya. Type thing. And it causes them to think, well, man, wait a minute. Wow. So then it kind of breaks up the thing of control and turns it into a thing of, because sometimes we have to, I don't think people deliberately will try to control. We're all made to want to control things. It's hard to not have things in your control, you know. But the more you learn how to yield things over to God, the more God gives you, you know, authority over things because you're willing to yield it over to him. Therefore, you end up being the winner because you've given it over, right? And yielded it over, willing to let it go. If you're willing to let it go, to keep it. And, you know, yeah. So people think that you're just going to try to hang on all your life. Oh, my God, hang on all your life. Sometimes, you know, that's a good thing to let people know. I hang on to you. I love you. Sometimes it's good to say, if you need to go, I'll let you, you know, and let them, and then find out where their heart really is. Yeah. So God teaches us how to do it with our children, our people, you know, sometimes it depends on the strategy God's given, the purpose of it, and what you're trying to accomplish, what God's trying to accomplish, and show you how to accomplish things. Sometimes hanging on tight is important. That can be important for a season. It's not letting go, it's letting that freedom, you know, makes them love you more. All right. It's all in letting go. Let go and let God. That's sometimes a death-defying experience, to let go and let God, right? Let go and let God do it for you. He will do it for you. Yes, he will. Let go and let God, and he will do it for you, if he wants it for you, and if that's what you want. Let go and let God, and he'll do it for you, if that's what you want. It's him to do it for you, or you can do it yourself. Put it on the shelf. Let God bring it back. God, bring it back. All right, Angel Joy, $50. Thank you. Kimberly, that was for you. So whatever, I don't know. Angela Joy. All right, Angela, I prayed over your 888 earlier. Thank you for, yeah, and that's cool, man. Okay, let's go here. Angela Joy. I'm going to give you that toy that you need. Angela Joy, he's gonna give you that toy that you need. If you need a toy, you know, people say about men, you know, their toys are big. Sometimes toys, you know, are something that we need, and yet we enjoy it. Sometimes God will start giving you the things you enjoy, like Angela Joy, the joy, and yet things you need. So it's like they play two different roles. Like you get this new car, new vehicle, new whatever it is, machine, new equipment. And it's like, you know, you enjoy it, but at the same time, you know, you got to have it. You know, so you got to have it and enjoy it at the same time. It's really cool. You're welcome, Kimberly. Thank you. You're welcome. you know. But you know. All right. So Angela Joy is getting a brand new toy. Maybe you already have, I don't know. But that toy can not just be a thing, could be, you know, people, stuff. That, you know, toys are things that we enjoy playing with. You know, kids, you know, their toys teach them things. They're, you know, the building blocks and the thing. They give them as toys. The trucks that will give you a boy a truck, he'll learn how to, in his mind, he'll build a road. You know, when he gets older, he may be a road builder, you know what I'm saying? So toys become things that, you know, that we enjoy and get something that we need. Something we can work with, something we can use to go somewhere with, something we can add to our life that will be a blessing. And I thank you, God, for Angela Joy and a great big toy. Yeah, to enjoy. Sometimes, Angela, you know, God wants us to have things that we enjoy, but that we need them to do what we need. So I think, I don't even know if that is. But thank you, Jesus, for that. Could be a person, could be people, could be a thing, could be, I don't know. But thank you, Jesus. It could be all of that. Thank you, Jesus, for the blessed assurance, the blessed assurance of the gospel and the freedom and the liberty of the gospel that brings people. I see this thing in you that you have this thing about freedom. You know, I mean, everybody has a little bit different thing. I see this thing with you about freedom. Where you really enjoy somebody getting free. They get the devil cast out of them, or they get a bondage broken in their life, whatever the thing is, accept Jesus, and they get set free, and they just get set free. There's something in you that loves that, that craves that. And that's why God wants to do all these different things to bring freedom to people through you. You know, like being able to give somebody $50 sometimes. Gives them freedom to do, you know what I mean? It's like it makes them happy. Gives them freedom. They need that. They need to do something with it. So you give it. So freedom can be in a lot of different ways. And you have there's such a passion in you to want to see people get free, to get out of bondage. And because of that, it's like a gift in you that works in many different ways. And God's going to really open it up to bring a blessing to many people because of that. Amen, and I say amen again, and I say amen again. So be it, Lord. Bring that toy so I can enjoy and get the job done. Like somebody getting a big old caterpillar, you know, like in the road business, you know, and you know, it's like. They just love them. Oh my God! I got this new toy today. What is it? It's a caterpillar, a big machine to do road building, whatever. Move massive of dirt, like, and they just love it. It's like when they get in and they're working all day long, they love it because it's like they love the power of it. They love the way it makes things work, and you know, it's a toy to them. But yet it's their work, you know. And so I don't know what it is about that. What's going on with that? But there you go. Hallelujah. Okay, y'all, I think that's about it for tonight. I love praying over offerings. It's so much fun. I love doing that. Okay, I hope I didn't miss anybody. It's 12:12 Texas time. All right, y'all, a good time to finish. I'm going to give you just a minute here. I'll be right back, and we'll end the show. I'll be right back. All right, everybody. Good night tonight. We'll see you guys. Monday. Really great. Hallelujah. Learned some cool things tonight. And we'll be talking to you soon. Thank you for being on. And enjoy the weekend. See you later. Bye-bye.